The shoe.
Call the meeting to order.
I don't know.
Leslie, would you take the roll, please?
Pinto.
Here.
Gonzalez.
Here.
Nemeth.
Here.
Walters.
Present.
Leonard. White. Cobb.
Here. Is there any conflict of interest that anyone needs to report with respect to tonight's agenda? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Also move to approve the agenda of Tuesday, August 13th, 2019.
Support.
It's been moved by Commissioner Nemeth, with support by Commissioner Walters, to approve the agenda for the meeting of Tuesday, August 13th, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The agenda is approved. We next need to approve the minutes of both our site review meeting and a regular meeting of July 2nd, 2019. I'll go with the site review meeting minutes first. Are there any revisions or corrections that we need to make to the minutes? And I did see one.
Sorry.
Well, it's all right. It's just probably just a, more of a typo, but I thought we'd just clean it up.
Oh, I see.
In paragraph 4, I think we delete the FAR.
Oh, okay. Let me see. Where did I put that? Oh, I wonder how I left that in there. Yeah.
Any other revisions or corrections? I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes and as corrected.
I'll make a motion to approve the site plan review minutes of July 2nd, 2019 for the Mitten Apartments.
Second. Been moved by Commissioner Walters with support by Commissioner Gonzalez to approve the minutes of the site review meeting of July 2nd, 2018 as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Those minutes are approved. Then we next need to approve the minutes of a regular meeting of July 2nd, 2018. Are there any revisions or corrections that we need to make to those minutes? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Also move to approve the minutes of July 2nd, 2019.
Support.
Been moved by Commissioner Nemeth, with support by Commissioner Walters, to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of July 2nd, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Those minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is public comment. If anyone from the public would like to make comment to the Planning Commission on anything that is not on the agenda, we'd be happy to hear from you. If you'd like to come up to the lectern and give us your name and address.
Scott Skorlecki, 12390 US 31 North, Travers 30. I just wanted to pop in and say that I overheard that one of my neighbors got approved to build within 25 feet of the creek, of Vanderbilt Creek. I'm not fully sure that is the truth of the matter, only that I saw it. I was out of town for the other meetings. But anyway, I just wanted to say that I'm opposed to anybody being able to build within 25 feet of the creek, let alone anywhere else. Within, you know, before the 50 feet that is already stated in the zoning rules. Anyway, I just wanted to voice my opinion on that, because this property, if this person gets to build within 25 feet of the creek, all of the creek, his creek furniture, everything that goes into that creek flows into my property. I'm directly adjacent to that parcel. And, you know, it just doesn't seem right. I was told that I couldn't do anything within 50 feet of the creek on my property, let alone touch the vegetation. So, anyway, I just wanted to voice my opinion on that. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't have a specific recollection of us having done that.
No, it was a ZBA.
Pardon? It was a ZBA that
ZBA, right? Yeah.
Looked at it?
Yeah, he came in for an exemption because there's really no other place on this property where he could build, and it wasn't 25 feet, but it was only less than 25 feet of a exemption.
And he's working with the DEQ.
And he is working with DEQ, and basically his whole lot, he's got like one area that's a little bit higher, and that's where he's going to build. And it is, it, he did have to get a variance for that. So otherwise, he would have, his property would have been worthless.
Just to explain, and you can comment more if you want, but so that was an issue that went before the Zoning Board of Appeals, not this body, and that body passed on.
Well, then excuse me for still learning the process.
I appreciate it.
No, I'm just, no, I just want, just making sure that you understand. So that's all, that's no problem.
Right, because I come in front of this board to ask for a variance and was refused.
Well, that was because we can't give you a variance for what you want.
Okay.
That's not allowable.
So the other option, how this fellow got to build on a creek?
It's because it's, you can get a variance for a distance, but not to change the law. What you want to do is actually change the law, which we tried to do, but unfortunately the town board didn't hear what we said.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
But so we can't give you a variance for what you want. We can't give you a variance. That breaks the law.
Yeah, the variance would not come before this body.
That's a state law.
Oh, so building on the water wasn't a law.
Well, you don't want a distance thing. You want to actually build a use. You want a use. We can't change uses. All we can give is inches and feet, basically.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm very...
And I'm with you 100%. I'm behind you 100%, and I wish they would have at least talked about it. And if I was you, I'd be hammering these people at the town board.
Yeah, well, that...
Because we did our due diligence. They didn't do theirs.
I know. If there was any way I could get away to change any zoning ordinances in the future, I sure would appreciate the help, because I'm stuck in Catch-22.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what to say off the top of my head. I mean, all you can do is keep petitioning the town board to hear you out.
Okay, thanks. And also, just one more thing. Would it be okay if, when you guys are writing and proposing stuff to be sent to the commission, to try not to use such esoteric terms as like, how should I say, an accessory building? See, I don't ever recall the last time I told my grandkids to go put the lawnmower twice in front of the accessory building. But come to find out, there's more than one definition for an accessory building.
But we have definitions in our ordinance. So if you looked up accessory building, there'd be a definition there.
Right. Well, like I said, it's not necessarily layman's terms, is all I'm trying to say.
But if we had to list every kind of building that was an accessory, you know, every time, It would be confusing to us.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for listening.
And I don't know.
Duly noted, though.
And I don't know what esoteric means, so. That's too big a word for me.
Well, you're going to get a good laugh, I guess, when you find out.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because there's a lot more changes going on.
Thank you, Mr. Strelicky. Anyone else who would like to make public comment? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go to reports. Township Board report. Mr. Walters.
Yeah, we had our meeting last night. One of the things on the agenda was the short-term rental ordinance and the fee of $450 versus $350. As you may or may not recall, the ordinance was passed last month with a fee of $450 in it. But back in May, there was some discussion about changing the fee to $350, and there was numbers giving, and there was a recommendation from the township supervisor, and I think, Rick, that $350 appeared to be the correct number. Some of the board members felt that back in May that we had actually changed it to $350, but looking at everything, we didn't actually take any motion on it. So last night, it was passed that the fee for the short-term rentals is $350, and that should be updated on the fee schedule and the software, likely by the end of the week. We also talked about the budget for 2020 for fire, ambulance, and police. And if you're interested, that will be on the agenda for the Township Board next month as a public hearing to set the actual millage rates for the taxes on those.
Okay. Any questions for Commissioner Walton?
Yeah, I have a question. The new assessing program, did you guys, did they give you a demonstration, or did you have a demonstration on that?
That was last month.
Yeah. I mean, can we just come in and look at it, too?
Mm-hmm. What,
okay. And then thank you very much for the reappointment. And Leslie, you've been doing a great job. Thank you for doing, like, triple duty.
Thank you for the reappointment. Boy.
I know. Well, it's in the minutes.
They should be thanking you for taking it.
Yeah, right. They should.
I have a question then. In the police and all that stuff, are we going to get a enforcement agent for the zoning department?
That wasn't on the police, fire, and that's more of the township board budget will be coming later on. And
I would think that should be part of police enforcement. It's not really part of the zoning budget. I wouldn't think, anyway. That's just my two cents.
Any other questions?
Have we been brought into the loop on the county's efforts for streamlining permit processes? Has that been brought to the...
I have.
Okay. That's we'll get there. I wanted to make sure that you were where you guys are. Okay, good.
I'm in Hoffman, Jim.
Okay.
We're going to meet again today.
Oh, perfect.
Was that a fairly esoteric conversation?
Really erudite.
Write that definition down.
Do you want to fill us in a little bit more?
There are efforts at the county level where they're trying to streamline the approval process of construction code permits and land use permits and soil erosion permits, so that I believe that's a goal. It's very simple for the user, because right now you go to various offices. I'm sure it's a lot of fun on the private side, and you get through everybody's unique process, and this is supposed to be a streamlined way to do one-stop shop for your land use, building, soil erosion.
So once you know how the system works, it's workable.
That's what they're working on right now.
Okay.
But pretty cool for local government anyway, because it should make things.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Appeals Board report, Commissioner Henschel.
We didn't have a meeting. No, that meeting we were talking about was a report. We'd already talked about that. No meeting. No report.
No report. There you go. Any questions about the no report?
Okay.
Planner Zoning Administrator report, Mr. Mullen. Anything to report?
Nothing to report beyond the reviews that you've had, and I had several meetings today during office hours with applicants. So. Or anything else?
Ms. Couturier, anything you'd like to add?
No, I was in those five meetings.
Okay.
It was a nice afternoon. And I have nothing to say.
Okay. Thank you. No old business, so we'll go to new business. The first item on the agenda for new business is conditional rezoning 1-19, PBD Real Estate. This is an introduction, and I'm guessing that Mr. Mansfield is here for Mr. Locriccio, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and you're here as well. Okay. And this is a presentation with respect to a request for a conditional rezoning of property located at the southeast corner of Hammond and Town Line Roads from industrial that would allow for the development of an apartment complex currently proposed of 216 units with certain conditions proposed by the applicant. And before we get started, Mr. Mullen, if you could sort of go through a little bit of what the conditioning rezoning process is for those of us on the Planning Commission that may not be familiar with it.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. The conditional rezoning process was added into the Planning Enabling Act, the Zoning Enabling Act in 2006, and it allows for the township to engage in a contract zoning agreement with a developer. And the one thing that's part of the process is that the applicant has the opportunity to propose a rezoning, and they will then add conditions to that rezoning, and those conditions are freely given by the applicant and are not there is to be no negotiating between the between the applicant and the community so that it doesn't look like there's a quid pro quo decision on the discussion. So the state law is very very strong about how there is to be no real negotiation. The applicant is to freely propose conditions that they feel it would be acceptable to the township, and then the Planning Commission and the Township Board would vote those conditions up or down. And I just want to remind everyone of that, and that tonight, please feel free to ask the applicant for additional information about clarification regarding the proposal, but I would ask, or I would recommend, that you steer clear from any desires or interests. It's more of you're just trying to gain some information from the applicant so that we don't fall into that gray area where the law is very clear.
So the bottom line, as I understand it, it would be inappropriate for us as a body to suggest any potential conditions on a project where there's conditional rezoning.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That is. We're correct. Here to listen.
We're here to listen and to gain some understanding about the proposal tonight. And I believe that the applicant will then be back with a formal conditional rezoning application at a subsequent meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, Mr. Mansfield, are you going to lead the discussion or conversation maybe? I don't know if it's discussion, but...
Doug Mansfield Land Use Consultants, 40 County View Drive, Suite 201, Traverse City, Michigan. Thank you again for your time and commitment on this group's meeting. And I'm here tonight on behalf of JLD Properties. And we've already asked to introduce to their introduction. This is an introduction. We are, unless I'm not understanding, this is a formal request at this point. We are seeking a public hearing day as we move through this discussion. So, I believe all applications have been made to that. But let me start with the project. I brought this before you as a sketch plan review a month or so ago. We have met with some of the agencies, but it's the 27 acres at the southeast corner of Hammond Road and Town Line Road, right on the East Bay, Garfield Township boundary. The property, as you are aware, is adjacent to Elmwood Golf Course to the east. We have some vacant rural land to the south. We have rural residential and farmsteads to the east, and then vacant industrial land to the north across Hammond Road. Hammond Road, of course, is the primary road. Town Line is a local road at this point. It also has the Elmwood driveway to the boundary to the south. The land gradually slopes up from Hammond Road to the south, approximately about 60 feet in grade across the nearly half mile distance. We also have some tributaries to Mitchell Creek on the east side and a little bit lower. The parcel has sewer and water almost to its eastern boundary on Hammond Road available, and we would be expected to continue that to service this development. The property was, must be a year or so ago, zoned industrial, or it still is zoned industrial, but the owner at that time had a master plan for a change to monitor the high-density residential, and that was approved by the town ship board. With that being said, we are pursuing a conditional rezoning to high-density residential with conditions. And we have, through the year or so now, we've been dealing with the township on different projects on this and the Elmbrook site, learned from the neighbors, we learned from the Planning Commission, we learned from the town board what desires there may be out there as far as the development of this property, scale of development, the gateway to East Bay from the west, sewer and water requirements, protection of the wetlands, all those types of things that go into an overall site design. And we feel that, especially with this last sketch that you have in front of you, that we have now created an envelope that can meet not only your zoning court, but a lot of your goals and objectives that may not have been documented but certainly are part of the personality of this township, and I want to go through a few of those. We did meet with the road commission. With this layout, you will see that we are not seeking a primary entrance off of Hammond Road. Our primary entrance will be on Town Line Road, for their recommendation. That entrance is probably flexible within a couple hundred feet as we move through this to the north. We wanted about at least 400 feet to the south for stacking and turning movement. And we can work with the neighbors on the best siting to that with their houses and things. But we also will have a secondary entrance on the town line. We started getting the IFC, the International Fire Department, their fire code, with their fire department restrictions and the number of access points they require for the densities and uses on the site. And then we've also provided a connection with the private drive with Elmbrook, should that ever develop again as part of a greater project. On the site, we programmed in 216 units. Those units come in 108, I will say, residential scale quadplex and duplex forms. Those cascade and offer different number of bedrooms, different square footages. Some will have basements, some will have walkouts, some will have just daylight areas in their rooms to meet almost every market and every social equation. This is not an age-restricted project in any form, and we want to have that community mix that really makes it a neighborhood. So 108 units are in that. Those units also will have garages, which I will tell you, as a rental program on this, aren't available almost anywhere. Neither is this type of unit, that you're almost getting a home again instead of an apartment. But also, we still have another 108 units and three-story apartments, multifamily type units, 27 units in each building. And each building also has seven garages underneath it, which makes it extremely marketable, extremely accessible, and extremely desirable, because, again, there's nothing like that in the township that exists right now. Each unit beyond the seven garages will also have at least one covered parking space and a carport available, and then we provided the required amount of parking overall at two per unit. The project envelopes a 3,500 square foot community center and pool, which is also embraced by a small park, and then parks also furthermore in the core area in the middle. And we haven't distinguished what those parks are, but we're prepared to put the improvements in to meet the demand. We've also incorporated an off-site, towards the northeast, a dog park, because that's a relationship we want to build on as part of the neighborhood. And then, to carry through connecting those, we've also provided not only some adjacent parking to some of these parks, which is critical for a lot of the neighbors. We see in the uses, some people are just not mobile to get there, but again, we provide pedestrian ways, non-vehicular pedestrian ways throughout the development, and a safe route to school type trail along Hammond Road as part of the conditions. So we think, again, even turning the buildings, the three-story buildings perpendicular to the rural lands will create a different perspective than having the bigger buildings along their sight lines. We have embraced a rural character, but that's buffer zone and landscaping along Hammond Road, along Town Line Road, along Elmbrook Road, and then also throughout the development. Right now it's a fallow field, as you're aware, and has been for many years, but we intend to embrace that and exceed your landscape ordinance. So we've laid out our conditions, and I'll go through those. We believe this is what we take in. It may seem simple enough, some of these, but actually these are things that exceed your ordinance, and we're pretty proud to be able to work on them economically in development. The rezoning, of course, will be conditioned on a proposed use in our specific site plan and building design. And that's the first key that I found in doing conditional rezonings. And I've done probably about 8 or 10 of them now in the community, and generally they're pretty well received. I will say I think it's a far greater guarantee of what you're going to get than any PUD or special use permit. It doesn't provide for flexibility. What you see is what you get. And that's the great thing about it. We'll divide the sidewalks on both sides of the project roads with residential use and enjoyment, which is excessive and required standard. Provide a safety path, safe roads to school sidewalk on Hammond Road, on inch for future time in the Benton Township likes to install safety path network. Provide setbacks and excess of the required minimums on all building sides. We're meeting and exceeding the required plant sizes, the number of plants above the zoning ordinance required minimums. This project is 57% open space, even with the densities we've got. We don't require it open lot coverage calculations, but that's where we're at. We just want you to know that. And we will provide a cross-access easement for interconnection in that all of the parcels developed in the future. As we know through our discussions previously, we want to put out there right now, we're going to do the cross-connection there, so there's no situation in the future where they say, well, we never intended this to connect, even though it does, and we didn't want it to. So this is our project. Again, we've worked, Joe's probably commissioned, I'm going to say, 6 to 8 different variations of this plan to make it work for both the partners that you're going to meet tonight and the neighbors and the different agencies involved. We are seeking a public hearing at your next regular meeting, and which we hope to take input. The public isn't bound by the caveats that you are in the conditional zoning, so they can ask and request and talk all they want. But we want to get that out there and meet with them again. And at this time, I'm going to introduce Joe. He's going to bring the rest of this up. I'm going to tell you the power that's in the multifamily development that's behind me tonight. I haven't seen up here in the 30 years I've been here. These guys, when I came from downstate, these guys were in the business and they're considered some of the best at owning, operating, maintaining multifamily developments in central lower Michigan. So I'm really proud, and you should be proud as a community that you drew this kind of power here tonight. So, Joe?
Thank you, Doug. I'm Joe Lucurico of GLG Properties, 316 Birchwood Avenue in Traverse City here, and I appreciate the opportunity to be back again before you. Been here numerous times over the years, with Elmbrook first, and then incorporating this site into the Elmbrook plan, and then ultimately dropping the whole Elmbrook project and just moving on to this site. A couple things that I wanted to reiterate that Doug pointed out about our particular site. We did meet with the Road Commission. We did adhere to their wishes about not having an access on Hammond Road. We provided a clear view corner, which is what they asked for here, for safe sight lines at the corner of Town Line and Hammond. We are well beyond their right-of-way line of 75 foot from the center of the road back before we have any development. We have exceeded setbacks on all sides in excess of your ordinance. Setbacks between units is in excess. Back-to-back distances in the open space here in the quadplexes is more than 66 feet, something you don't see very often. So we've embraced the open space on this site at 57% and tried to provide an ambiance, if you will, in there and promote walkability with sidewalks on both sides of the road and 6 parks integrated in here that you can, recreate at or relax in. We did provide the dog park. We really tried to make this a unique project beyond the product, which in and of itself is very unique in the quadplexes that have 2 2-car garages and 2 1-car garages for every building. So it is a unique product to the marketplace and something that we're very excited about and think that it'll be a very nice addition to the community. We did put a stub road back here. However, this was provided as just an indication. That was something that we thought might be a condition that we could add, but it is not going to be incorporated initially. It can be used as a breakaway gate if fire required it or something, but it would be an easement that we keep in the plan in the event that Elmbrook was ever developed or wanted to tie in there, or any future development to tie in there. Again, this product has been well vetted. This process has, revealed a lot to us about demands in the marketplace. Our rents are going to start at about $1,000 a month. which is very competitive for market rate properties. We have a great community clubhouse and pool, as Doug pointed out, a workout room, a resident gathering area. This is a, we believe, a far better alternative to an industrial building there that could be up to 270,000 square feet with a 50-foot roof height. You know, that's the way this is zoned currently. We feel like we're meeting a demand in the marketplace, and we are, you know, consistent with your vision, and it's identified by your future land use plan. So, as Doug said, we want to come before you for a public hearing on this. We will be submitting, you know, more material prior to the public hearing, but our goal is to be before you next month for a public hearing on this project. And, you know, we will entertain any questions at all. Or, I know what Arthur said about no suggestions, if you will, but, you know, we got suggestions from you at our last meeting back in June. Mr. Henschel talked about, you know, open space parks, things like that. Dog park was specifically mentioned. We think in coming back with six separate park areas, we heard you loud and clear on some things. So we're trying to adhere to your wishes that we heard last month. The partnership group, as Doug mentioned, is DTM Management is a fantastic company that's been around for almost 50 years. They own and manage their properties long term. This is not a fly-by-night organization that I'm partnering with, and I'm proud that they have the opportunity to be part of the community, and I'm hoping that you'll see the same after you have a chance to hear more about them. And with that, I'm going to introduce John Woods, who is the Chief Investment Officer of DTM, so he can tell you more about them.
Thanks, Joe, and thank you to the Planning Commission members for your time and consideration of our proposal. And as Joe mentioned, you know, we're a real estate investment company that's been around for 47 years now. And I've only been there for a few years, so I really feel like I can really speak objectively, and it caused me to speak a little bit more openly. And, you know, in my experience, DTN is a very disciplined organization. You know, they make good decisions by example, by teaming with developers like JLJ Properties and providing input into these properties and creating real value for the community. You know, as far as specifics, again, 47 years, they've purchased over 120 properties, and I think what is important for the Planning Commission to understand is DTN invests in the communities. Not only do they do a great job in investing in properties and investing in their people and supporting their people, but in 47 years, as a testament to that, they bought 120 properties and only sold four. And I can tell you today, in the day and age of private equity and what's going on in real estate, that's really an anomaly, because most of the times the questions I hear as a chief investment officer is, well, gee, what's it going to be worth to our investors in 4 years, 5 years, 7 years? And they don't invest in their properties. They invest in their deals. You know, they invest in their investors that nobody ever sees. They don't drive 3 hours to come to a Planning Commission meeting to really see and feel property and understand people that are going to be doing business with and walking the property to understand how it's going to feel and whether or not the site plan makes great sense or not. We have literally four generations of investors in DTN, and it's all family. And two of those generations are behind me today between Nick Uppel, Raji Uppel, and Tom Kaczynski. So two of the gentlemen, you can probably figure out which two are brothers-in-law. And imagine being partners with your brother-in-law for 47 years. And they do a great job of it. And, you know, they make decisions as a family. And so we've got grandchildren that are investors in our properties. We have first generation. We are transitioning to second generation. They've worked closely together for 20 years. And then we also have Tom. How old is your mother?
101.
So we have grandma, who's 101. I see her name on a lot of documents. And so the entire family, the entire four generations that consider to be Upple family, is really investing in this property. And they're not worried about how much it's worth in 4 years or how much it's worth in 7 years. We have properties that we've owned for probably all 47 years, I believe. And so You know, I think it's just really important to describe that. I'm not here to talk about the project. That's what Doug and Joe spent a lot of their time on. And, you know, I'll just say that we've provided a fair amount of input. We are an organization of 350 people down in Lansing. We have properties from coast to coast. We're in Grand Rapids, where we recently finished about 300 new units of both mixed-use urban as well as some garden style. And then we own a couple thousand units out in the suburbs, and we love Grand Rapids. It's a great community. We own a lot of student housing and market-rate housing in Lansing, and have owned them for 47 years. And then we're also active in southeastern Michigan in Oakland County, where we're currently developing about 650 units. And we're also developing roughly 500 to 600 in Lansing. So this was really a unique opportunity for us to come to Traverse City. We're all familiar with Traverse City. Nobody lives in Michigan. We much love Traverse City. So when Joe presented the opportunity for us, we really thought we could bring something to the table with having owned and managed and developed 8,000 units over 47 years. And we just want you to know that we take that extremely seriously. We feel like a privilege to be here, and we're really looking forward to it. So we're open to any and all questions you may have. We want you to know that, you know, we're a committed citizen, you know, as an organization. So we will be up here. It's just not an investment for us. This is what we do, and we feel we do pretty well at it, and we enjoy it. So with that, thank you again.
Thank you.
So we're here to take any questions or concerns. And I know there's a lot of work ahead of us. And like I said, the biggest thing is we're hoping that we can see a public hearing in the next 7 minutes.
Okay. So I'll start with if anyone here has any questions for Mr. Mansfield or anyone else. I think questions are limited to what we see here, and any questions you might have just to fully understand what the proposal is. So, Dan, we'll start with you if you have any questions.
Sure. Just on construction and phasing, where would you start? Where would you end?
So we talked about that. We're not going to poke at this thing. We're probably looking at 2 to 3 phases max. Obviously, we're going to start from the entrance, which is the farthest away from our utilities, coincidentally. but we'll probably bring in this radius here, which means keeps the fire loop good, and then probably a couple of these buildings one time, and then the next would be this and these two buildings.
Okay.
So, and I would say, go ahead.
Can I point out that we are going to put all the infrastructure in at one time, grading, road, sewer, water, all going at once, and then the building construction will be over those, you know, 2 or 3 phases.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Thank you. I really like the entrance off of Hammond. I applaud you for working on that. I'm sure that was a... As a part of that, will that road need any additional infrastructure on it, or is it sufficient?
It's going to need at least probably a layer on it.
Okay.
Probably wait until at least the first phase is done, because otherwise we're just going to replace it again. But it'll probably need a layer on it.
Okay.
That's incidental almost.
Sure. And the townhomes and quadplexes, will those all be rental as well, or are those going to be everything 100%? Got it. Okay. I'm envisioning like your property, I think it's your properties that are, 425 in East Lansing. The condominiums, townhomes that are in that area by what used to be the Sod Farms and the airport. Bat Township, is that
you guys? We don't have any property up there.
Okay.
Personally.
I'm just thinking of like design wise, I guess.
Oh, design wise.
I'm familiar with that area as well.
Like I-96 Airport Road?
Yeah.
Those new apartments right there, the multi-dollar apartments, those are
Got it. I was trying to pin down.
Yeah.
I'm from Langford.
Right next to the airport, we're building, we're just finishing up 270 units up there somewhere, about approximately.
Gotcha.
And,
The one thing, if
we didn't discuss, we can't come to the mic.
Yeah, that's right. Because we do, these are videotaped, and so if you're not at the lectern, then it's going to be difficult for people who view this later on to see.
No problem. I misunderstood what you're talking about.
And if you can just start with your name and address, and then
yes, my name is Raji Uppel. I live in Haslett, Michigan. The long and the short of what you were talking about is we're building a development near the airport in Lansing, Michigan, in DeWitt, And if that's the one you were talking about specifically, it's what we call a big house product. And we have some, we're in process of proposing a similar product adjacent to it, which will be the fourplexes, and we're going to do some duplex products. We've also built a community down in Holt, which is on the south side of Lansing, called Aspen Lakes. It's about 400 units approximately, maybe 500, which was a PUD, which was both condominium homes and apartments. It's integrated really well. We've worked very hard on striving towards making communities. And so our upfront investments typically, as you listen to them, we said we're going to put the infrastructure in. We spend the money, we put the clubhouse in, we make our entrances nice. We typically spend the money to make it so that some people wait till the end, we go to the front of it and make sure that the community is going to be the tone that we want to set. And they truly are communities. Oftentimes people say, hey, common areas aren't used, but in our communities, it's shocking how much integration and community that's used. We do things like we have coffee down there and stuff like that. So we usually see our residents or our customers daily because they come in for their cup of coffee.
Sure.
And we try and make it a community, not just an apartment.
That's awesome. Thank you. I just wanted to, I had seen some development going on. I wasn't in the right spot, but thank you for the clarity. And in the future, if you could just provide, I think it would be helpful for us to maybe have just an example of what this could look like from an elevation standpoint, just as an attachment. I think that'd be very helpful for us.
That'd be part of the next submission.
Yeah. But thank you.
Yeah, I also wonder whether some photographs of other projects that you've done that kind of give us an idea of what it looks like. Another doesn't necessarily have to be the same exactly, but gives us an idea. I think that might be helpful too.
Well,
are you all set, Dan?
Yes, thank you,
Mindy.
On bullet point 5, what you said is a little different than what's written. It says here that we will increase the size of required plant sizes above the zoning ordinance. You said plant sizes and plant density.
Both.
Okay, can you put that in your bullets then, please?
Sure.
And if I may add specifics about, you know, what above, mm-hmm. would it be helpful?
That's it?
Okay. Judy?
First of all, I say bless your hearts for doing student housing for all that time. I did that for about 30 years, and bless your heart. So good job. I like the open space. I think that's great, and I probably will have more questions as we proceed and look at elevations. Thanks.
Paul?
Just a question. When the you talked to the road commission, did they indicate that lights, any traffic lights, need to be installed?
No, they specifically talked about that. The original thought with the Elmbrook development was that they wanted a traffic circle installed with that amount of density. Mm-hmm. But after meeting with Wayne Spoonover, who was the manager of engineering, he indicated that a traffic study, traffic impact analysis would not be required by limiting the Hammond Road access, which was a difficult thing for us, you know, thinking visibility, thinking access, thinking all the sales points you want. But, you know, we acquiesced, and he said with this type of project, this type of density, that a light was definitely not be required in this function.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ted?
I just want to say thanks for listening to us. It looks like you brought back a lot of our ideas, and looks a lot better than anything I've seen so far. I just want to make sure that the trees along Hammond Road are going to be substantial, which what's already been said, and I'm concerned about the traffic at the corner, and as much as I don't like roundabouts, it might be an answer. And I just wondered when I seen that cutoff, I wondered if the county said we want the room there for a roundabout.
It's part of it. Just a clear vision is what they want.
Okay.
But it will be easements, and they'll be able to use it. So
yeah.
Hard to say what the future brings.
Can I ask one more?
If Ted's done.
Ted's
are you all set?
Done.
Okay, Judy.
Leslie, did you make comment, or I don't know if it was you, but anyway, that Costco, wasn't Costco supposed to put a light in at Town Line in Hammond in 5 years, or is that not?
That was part of the approval. They had not given us a timeline, though.
Oh, okay.
It's based on phase. It's in a one phase of OLOTs, or one OLOTs to sell, mm-hmm. and that's when they're supposed to. We'll see. That's a long time. If it's like any other major big box stores, they hold those OLOTs with deed restrictions on them that are so overwhelming that nothing can be developed on. So we'll see how that happens. But that's why you never see any of those OLOTs sell until the big box.
Thanks.
Okay. And I just had a couple, and I don't know if it's questions, but excuse me. I presume in the submittals that we'll get next month, that would be interesting. Just again, the specifics, as Mr. Mullen mentioned, sidewalk widths, construction materials, asphalt, cement, what the thought is in that regard, both the widths in the interior and then the widths with a long Hammond Road, and then a little more detail. With respect to the plant size and density, as opposed to just they will be different, and then I presume the setbacks will also be set forth on the final plan. So those are just the questions I had with respect to the specifics of what you're proposing as to your conditions, and then the one thing I don't know that I understood maybe between the two of you. The future access on the south side, is it your intent to construct that up to the property line now or to wait until some point in the future? Because I wasn't sure on that one.
Just to provide an easement for it. So we don't. If the township preferred, we could construct it and put it in and just, you know, block it off. But my thought was, you know, we would have these parking spaces, here as indicated, for guest parking, but we could just provide the easement, provide the cross-access easement, identify it, it's there. If something does happen in the future, it's easy to tie in.
Right now, we don't have legal rights to go into there right away.
And I presume. Yeah, right. I presume. Right. So the idea, though, that if you do it now, that if and when the time existed, then you
right.
would go through at your expense then and
right.
make that connection at that point.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions?
Yes.
Mr. Mullen, do you have any questions at all?
None.
Okay. Thank you, and I guess we'll see you in September. To set a public hearing?
Yeah.
We will provide it if this motion somebody's going to make passes. So with that, and with the help of Mr. Mansfield, I would entertain a motion then to go ahead and set this for a public hearing at the September meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Henschel with support by Commissioner Nimitz to put on the agenda for a public hearing at the September Planning Commission meeting. Conditional rezoning 1-19. Any further discussion on that motion?
Something's going on there.
I just want to make sure that Arthur has time to review it because the meeting's on the 2nd.
Second.
Second.
Oh,
no. Oh.
Oh. And we have to have legal by this Thursday. I have to have legal.
Labor Day is the 2nd.
Right. So it'll be the 3rd.
Be the 3rd. Be the Tuesday after.
Well, you wouldn't have another one until the 1st of October, correct?
Right. I just want to make sure Arthur has time.
When would the deadline be, do you think, for things to be to Arthur? When do you think things would need to be into the office to be able to...
When we told someone today, they had to be here by Monday. The stuff had to be here by Monday, so he would have time to review it.
So a week from yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we could adhere to that because really we're providing building-specific stuff, which we have. We'll elaborate on the setbacks.
I'm sorry, why don't you come up and okay. so we can
so
see
you. We can meet that, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, whatever. I mean, whatever you can allow us as a deadline. If it's Monday, it's Monday, but we can meet that. We have to get you elevation materials, things like that. The questions you asked, we can identify in the plan. We can show the setbacks. We can show the plant sizes. All the things you talked about, we can get together. So
I would ask that you give us as much time as possible. If Monday is Monday, if it's Tuesday, it's better. If it's Wednesday, it's better. Whatever we need, yeah. But we can get the material to you, because it's important to us that we keep the process moving.
Right. I think we can talk about it after. We'll let you know tomorrow.
Okay. Well, do you need us to schedule the date on our motion, or we have a motion for a public hearing at the next available date once everything's been submitted to the office?
That's perfect.
Ken, do you want to amend your...
What did you want us to amend it?
I think your motion set a date for September, and I think what I'm getting now is the date, the public hearing will be set on a date at the earliest possible time, given
could we predicate the motion on us getting the material turned in by the deadline date?
That's what we just did.
Why don't we just leave the motion as it is, and if they're not ready, then we'll just have to push it on.
Okay.
And we'll shoot for it. Everybody will hustle.
Okay. It's your motion. It's been supported. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. So as long as you get, sounds like if you get things in on Monday, then we'll see you on the 3rd.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Superwoman.
You know, you can stay for the rest of the meeting if you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to. It's only
180 miles.
You don't have
nice
to.
Nice meeting y'all.
Yes. Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is Special Land Use 5-19, Site Plan Review 4-19 for Brook Tarvis. This is a daycare group facility. This is a time and place set for public hearing and action. This is a request for special land use and site plan review approval regarding the establishment of a 7 to 12 children daycare in residential premises. The applicant is proposing to fence in an outdoor play area between the house and Poplar Place. And this is time for a presentation. Ms. Tarvis, if you'd like to come to the lectern and give us your name and address and give us a brief synopsis of the proposal here.
Brook Tarvis, 1737 Poplar Place, Charleston, Michigan. We're located just off 4 Mile Road. Basically, like I said, I'm just trying to open a daycare in my home for up to 12 children. I will have one assistant besides myself, one adult for 6 kids. We will be hosting from newborn up to probably around age 5 or 6, just because we're trying to stick with full-time children. Like you said, I will be installing a fence between my house and Poplar because my backyard will not be used for the daycare off of Pine Drive.
Okay. Any questions that anyone has for Ms. Tarvis?
The only thing is fencing detail. Did we get that then?
We have not seen it at the office.
Okay. She's saying that she's going to have to put up a privacy fence on the
west.
On the west property line.
West property line, but it'd be on the east side of a fence that's already there.
What kind of fence is that?
It's a chain link.
That's fine.
So, but isn't that kind of dumb to have two fences a foot apart? Isn't there any way that?
Well, I would consider attaching the privacy fence to the.
That's what I said.
No, well, I think when we were there at the site review. I think Ms. Tarvis explained that in order to construct, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, was that you were intending on that east, on the north-south line, on the west property line, to construct a 6-foot privacy fence, and that you needed to do so about a foot or a foot and a half to the east of the property line so that whoever constructing the fence would have the ability to move along the property line without encroaching or walking on the neighbor's property.
It just doesn't seem
copacetic
to me.
I have a very good relationship with my next-door neighbor. I'm sure she wouldn't care. I could always get approval from her for the guys to be on her yard to build through her fence. I'm sure it wouldn't be a problem.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just wondered this part of the ordinance, the 6-foot privacy fence.
Correct, against abutting residential
property. And the only way to go,
we
don't have the ability to, she'd have to go to a, for a variance.
Correct.
We don't have to do that. Okay. Yeah, I would definitely talk to her and, you know, I mean, she's going to obviously probably want the privacy fence, I would think.
Well, that was another thing that I was wondering about, too. Where that privacy fence would be is along her backyard, which isn't utilized at all from her. So, I mean, is the privacy fence still needed back there, even though she doesn't utilize her backyard at all?
I'm saying that might not always live there.
That's the issue, I think, a little bit from my perspective.
You'd have to get a variance from the ZBA for that, and that's probably too expensive for what you're doing. It'd be cheaper just to put the fence up.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really suggest that, because otherwise you're going to have a strip there. It's a foot, foot and a half. How are you going to get in there to mow it? It's going to be just a place for trash and weeds to grow, and it's just not going to make your, you know, either property look good.
So I, if I'm understanding the suggestion from Commissioner Henschel is the 6-foot privacy fence would stay, but if you could move it,
put it
to
right
adjacent to the property line without space in between,
I don't understand
if your neighbors
how
agree.
Could put it right up tight to hers even, but I'm not a fence builder. They can, right? They do it all the time. Don't they? Yeah, I don't know who your fence builder is, but yeah, you should be able to do that.
Any other questions from you?
We talked about parking. I just want to reiterate, you're going to have people coming in and out. You have possibly 12 different, I mean, a lot of times you have people bring two kids instead of one, but but you do have a good area on your lawn there where people can park, provided you keep it plowed in the winter. Because even though you say you can stack 6 to 8 cars in your drive, you're not going to. There's nobody going to block somebody else, and most people won't do that. And you could also park your car on the other side, which would give you
two. Yeah, or in the back driveway, which we discussed.
Right. Other than that, I don't know. I think it's a pretty good location. I didn't see any neighbors here hollering yet, so.
We haven't asked yet.
That's next. Okay.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
No question.
Commissioner Nimitz?
Yeah, regarding the lighting that will be probably off your house to the playground area, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and were you thinking of like lights that would be aimed down in compliance with and could give off enough candle power to light that playground area?
Yeah, correct. It'll be off the front of the house.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Walters?
Ted has my questions.
Mr. Leonard?
Do you operate a daycare there today? I'm sorry if I missed that.
No, not
okay.
Yet.
So this is just brand new?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious. I think I'm good.
I just had a couple questions, and I think some of you answered when we were out at the site, but your intended hours of operation are when?
7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday.
And then I think Mr. Mullen in his report to the Planning Commission questioned whether outdoor play should be limited to certain hours between 9 and 8. Obviously, 8 would be beyond the 5:30 you're intended to operation. I guess the other thing is that if kids are being dropped off between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, they may be out. I mean, is your intent that they may be outside in that yard from 8 until 9 or thereabouts?
No, my intention for most of the outdoor playtime is in the afternoon. Drop-off time when they arrive is going to be more of the breakfast time, so we're going to be inside feeding or just like quiet time early in the morning.
Okay. I guess my thought would not be to limit you not to be able to do that between 8 and 9 in the morning, and you may change, but that's just my thought. I'd be okay with that. The other question that was raised in the report was any tree removal for construction of the fence. Do you anticipate that? And I forgot to ask that one while you were there.
I don't think that would be in the way it would be the crab apple tree, but I think that it's far enough out of the way that we're not.
That you don't have to take that down?
The only thing we would have to do is maybe trim up some of the branches that would overhang over the fence.
And then signage, and there's ordinances with respect to signage, and are you aware of what that is and how big signs can be? So do you intend to put up a sign, or you're not sure?
I'm not sure. Not right away, no.
Okay. I think it's I think the maximum is a 4-square-foot sign, I think, that would be allowable.
15 feet off the property line, unlit, I think, is the...
So I just want to make you aware of that, so that when you get to that point, if you want to do that, you kind of know that you need to kind of look at what those requirements are. So, okay. Okay, any other questions at this point? Okay. Seeing none, then right now I will open this up for public hearing. If any member of the public would like to address the Planning Commission with respect to this proposed site plan and special land use, I'd be happy to hear from you. Please come to the lectern and give us your name and address. Going once, going twice, and not hearing anybody, so I'll close the public hearing at this point in time. And Mr. Mullen, do you have any additional comments that you'd like to present to the Planning Commission?
Sure. Thank you. Just a couple questions. And the hours is because you're allowed to operate from 10 until 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. You can operate any 18-hour period within a 24-hour period. So I was just wanted to ask. That's why. And so kind of she had stipulated that her plan is to only operate 7:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday. So I think that got us answer. Again, the idea about the outdoor play was getting to noise to the neighbors, and if she was operating on the weekends, someone's trying to get in sleep, you know, all of a sudden at 7:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, 6:30, kids are getting dropped off. I think the type of fence, it would have to be a privacy fence, and I think that Leslie would be able to sign off on that to make sure that it complies when the as we get the final information in. The outdoor lighting, again, just in your ordinance, you have the requirement to not have more than 1-foot candle at the property line. It's more of if, say, something gets built incorrectly, that you have... that you've already notified the applicant that they have to comply with the lighting requirement. So it's more of just making sure that everyone understands where we start. Again, you mentioned the sign design, 4 square feet, not illuminated, 15 feet, and not to exceed 6 feet in height, and that's written in the ordinance. And then the fencing, 6 feet on the side. So the question I am trying to decide is it on both sides? Would it be on the west property line and the east property line?
The fence doesn't go to the east property line.
Well, but it says that this is why I was trying to read it, because there's the driveway, I understand. But the fence, all outdoor areas used for care and supervision of patrons shall have an appropriate fencing for safety of children in a group daycare home consisting of a minimum of a 6-foot-high privacy fence along the area adjoining another residence. So I think you're correct. I was just wanting to make sure that it wasn't against a residential use. Now that we have the driveway, then we would be fine there. And then the other question I had, and you all were talking to the applicant about the parking and thinking about having a double-wide driveway so that people could pull up side by side and let the kids out, because I do think you'll have, I agree that I don't think you'll have stacking back-to-back because the timing might not work, but it would be nice to be able to have two cars side by side to load and unload.
Yeah, I think from being at the site, which is one of the reasons to have the site review there, I was comfortable that the driveway, I think in the wintertime there needs to be care taken, that it's shoveled wide enough. But I was satisfied that if two cars came in, they could park side by side in that driveway. They might be a little on the grass, but it certainly is doable.
Okay.
So I can't speak for everybody else. But
yeah, there's plenty of room in the driveway for two cars side by side, and then there's probably room for four cars in front of her house on the grass.
Okay.
So she's got a lot. It's nice.
Okay.
Very good. I don't
think there's not the way the road is configured, too. I would not anticipate there'd be a lot of traffic because the road does loop around. And
just on the sign,
to the west is going to, they're the only ones that are going to go by the house in the morning.
Just on the sign thing, you can't have an off-site sign. Mm-hmm. Just because you do right now.
But, you know, no permanent off-site sign. So you probably, I mean, where you're at, you probably won't need a sign.
I think the bottom line is just be in contact with Leslie in the office. So when you buy a sign or you do whatever, you know, probably would just help just to before you actually purchase to say, here's what I intend, am I okay?
And you can get started because you can have up to 6 kids and you don't have to have the privacy fence and all that. So that way you can earn some money to pay for the fence.
Okay. Anything else? Any other discussion? Then take it back for discussion with the Planning Commission. Any comments?
I'm good.
Not hearing any. I would then entertain a motion one way or the other on this proposal.
I'd recommend approval of SUP 4-19 and the site plan 5-19 contingent upon fencing meet the section 825C12 in the ordinance, so long as it can be demonstrated to staff.
I'm sorry, I was starting to write things down and I missed it. Repeat it. Could you repeat that for me?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I'd recommend approval of SUP 4-19 with a site plan of 5-19 contingent upon proof that the required fencing meet section 820.5.C subsection 12 to staff.
I'll second.
Question on that friendly amendment. Would you make it also subject to final approval by the state?
Absolutely, yeah. That's DHHS. Who do those go through? Your
you mean license, licensing for the daycare license?
Is that Laura?
Yeah, Laura.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Contingent upon final approval by the state.
I'll go along with it.
Or the use? The licensed daycare use?
Licensing, I guess. Yeah.
Part that I think you referred to it as an SUP, and I think you said 419 and then site plan review 519, so I think you got the numbers
backwards.
A lot of people call it SUPs instead of SLUs.
Sorry.
That's what threw me.
Old habits.
Sorry.
I knew what he meant.
Yeah, well, me too, that's why I said
I thought he was being somewhat esoteric again.
You just have to learn to say, I make the motion,
now.
Let him write
my goal is 20 times next week. Okay. It's been moved by Commissioner Leonard, was supported by Commissioner Henschel, to approve SUP 5-19, site plan review 4-19, on the conditions that the applicants provide sufficient proof to staff that the proposed fencing complies with Section 825C12 of the zoning ordinance, and also conditioned upon approval of the daycare license for the business. Did I recite that fairly well? Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay?
Yeah,
with 12 of those.
One.
Next item on the agenda is special land use 4-19 site plan review 3-19. Gary Holcomb, this is for accessory structure exceeding a home by more than 150%. This is a time and place set for public hearing and action. The applicant is requesting a special land use and site plan review approval for the expansion of accessory structure, which will exceed the single family residence by more than 150%. The existing garage what I had on here measures 1680 square feet, and the applicant is proposing to wrap the garage on two sides with a 1320 square foot addition. The site measures 1.28 acres. It's my understanding there has been a remeasurement of the principal structure on the property. If I have that correct, Mr. Mullen?
That is correct.
And so if okay. With that in mind, I guess I would have Mr. Holcomb come forward and present the proposal to the Planning Commission.
Thank you. Gary Holcomb, 2698 Hammond Road East, Traverse City. And yes, we're just talking to add on to our existing pole barn to make it more usable, so I can put more stuff inside. Definitely got to hide, you know. The pole barn was originally built with a 30-foot 40. We added a 12-foot on the north side. We want to add 12 feet on the south side now, so that is symmetrical. We think it'll look better and certainly function better. We're also wrapping around the back just to give us a little more additional space. We're already storing stuff there. We just like to have it inside. The square footage of the principal residence is 1492. What we're asking for is a total of 3,000, so we're up by 8 square feet. I understand that we're not allowed to do that, but two times is the most we can go, so I would amend my request to bring it into that two times, or in other words, 2,900 and 92 feet?
4. 94.
Thank you. How exactly I knock a little square footage out of this structure, it would be in the back somewhere. I'm either going to reduce the 40-foot span to, or 42-foot span to 40-foot, or a 20 back to 19 or something like that. I need to talk to my builder to find out the best way to do that. There's roof lines I'm trying to match there, and I want to make sure that I'm doing it properly.
What about adding on to your deck, covered deck?
That's an option. It's a good thing to do it, but I suspect that's probably a lot more than doing it's not a problem, but the permit process is going to be involved. So I suspect this is a smarter way to do it.
I got you.
We try to be creative sometimes.
Yeah, and that's good.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Holcomb?
I just have one, and maybe Leslie can help me with this one too. One of the concerns I have is how steep the back is with stormwater runoff, because when we get a roof on there that's pitched like that, and the impervious surface additions, and where's that all going to go? I mean, will the drain and stormwater people look at that and have them put something in there? Okay.
That's what they
do. Well, I know, but you know,
it's got a big basin right back there already.
I know, so I was thinking, though, that fire pit's going to get going to be a water pit. It's going to be a little pond back
a
there.
A lot of grass between there and there.
Yeah.
We have asphalt all the way along the south side of that building.
Yeah.
To the west and goes into a catch basin, which goes into a pipe, which goes down below into a retention basin. So
okay, that answers it.
And I do have solar erosion from there already.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
I have a question about the parking. So you have some parking spaces that are currently marked, if you will, and if you add the 12 feet to the south side, I think it's south over there, south side of that building, I think you're going to lose at least one of those parking spaces. I think you can get in. I don't think you can get back out. Are you planning on remarking somewhere else? Or I guess I don't know if, you know, those were requirements on the kennel business or not. I'm just kind of reaching there, but I did notice that.
That's a very good question. Kennel business, everybody drops off in front.
Okay.
In the business. We actually just added another 12 feet onto our garage that's adjacent to that, which creates another parking spot over there as well, or two.
Okay.
It just has never been a problem. Our employees usually park over where you're talking about, and my boat is in the way of one of those parking spots.
Yeah.
That's going in the drive. we're very cognizant of that. I could mark more parking spaces on the north side if I wanted. Couldn't do that, and they have needed to.
Okay. I just was, you
so
know.
She's saying you meet the ordinance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You're not, by losing
we're a. We're not taking out any parking spaces.
Not for, not that go with the.
No.
Right, that's why.
There's more parking spaces that are marked to the west of where that building is. They're staying there. We're not taking them out. I appreciate what you're saying about being able to get into them. but it's only our employees that park over there usually anyway. The customers usually just pull in front, drop off, and go.
Okay, so if there was a problem with the parking space or whatever, if they parked in front of your garage or whatever, and you needed to get in the garage, you just go get the keys and move it, right?
I get in the garage maybe once or twice a week.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Just one. The house that was in the lower area. That
sure, principal residence.
Principal residence. When you do all the construction, what's the entrance, egress, and exit for that?
There's a stairway over adjacent to our kennel building in the back when it goes down to that structure.
Oh, okay. So there's no garage or anything down there?
No.
So you don't see it as actually driving down to there?
No, you don't drive down.
Okay, just walk. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, my daughter rented that house, and you should have paid her. The house was nice, but getting in and out, oh my word.
It's a stairway.
Yeah, stairway.
Good exercise, right, Ted?
Yeah.
Any other questions? At this point, then, I'll open it up for a public hearing. If any member of the public would like to address the Planning Commission with respect to this proposal, we'd be interested to hear from you. Is there anyone that would like to speak? If so, please come up to the lectern and give us your name and address. Just a quiet group tonight. Seeing no one wishing to speak, then I'll close the public hearing at this point in time and bring it back to Mr. Mullen. Is there any additional comments that you wish to make for us at this point?
No, there are only a couple items. So the tree that we had mentioned under special land use, we're to look at the environmental impacts, including trees and everything. So there is a tree along near where the back corner of the fence is, or the barn is going to, the addition is going to go. I would think that you'd want to have that replaced. It would be an equal, you know, one tree out, one tree in. We found out that the setback is sufficient, and then there is a requirement that they provide evidence of a deed restriction has been registered with the register of deeds, so that the property can't be split further, so that you wouldn't go into, you would not be in compliance.
So run that by me again.
There is a requirement in the approval process that requires that a deed restriction be recorded against the property, limiting so that the property can't be split, and then creating a deficiency in the square footage versus of the accessory structure and the building to the existing lot. Because your lots are based upon size, that the percentage is based upon sizing, and if you shrink it under an acre, then you could only have a hundred. You could only double the size, and then it would be out of compliance.
But if in the future, if we did that, and in the future he wants to split, and he says, "Okay, well, I'll take," and I don't think that's going to happen, but I'll take away the addition. I'll remove that, and now I can split it. The deed restriction would go away?
I would think they'd have to come and provide evidence of that to the Planning Commission.
And you couldn't split it and have an accessory structure without a primary anyway.
You could split it based on the frontage anyway.
Right.
You couldn't?
No.
So do we need to make them jump through that hoop of a deed restriction?
What do you mean you couldn't?
Like, the only way you could split that is if you put it in a private road.
I'm just indicating what your ordinance stipulates.
I'm okay with bringing it up.
Because I'm not sure that you could split this lot because it's only at an acre, slightly over an acre, and the requirement for a lot split in this case would be, it has to be larger than an acre anyways. But
yeah, so if he couldn't do it, then I don't know that he needs to do a deed restriction and record that on something he can't do anyways. That's only my comment, I guess.
How many of that?
1.28.
Yeah, that could not be split unless sometime there was sewer and water there. And the lots would be small.
No.
But. Leave it to me.
She likes the power.
Okay. Well, I'll entertain a. If there's nothing further, I'll entertain a motion on this.
So,
what do we do with the size of the building? In that he doesn't know how to know exactly what he wants to do yet.
We specify as large as he can go. I would say.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That we approve. I think it would be that we approve special land use 419 on the condition that the additional structure not exceed 2,894 square feet.
I'll make that motion. Before you forget it, so you can write it down.
Second.
You're making the motion that I just said?
Yes. Unless you want.
No, it's all right.
Huh?
No,
okay.
Well, let's make sure we're right.
So. Yeah, make sure we're right. Figure it out for us.
I think you said 2,800 should be
2,000. No, I said 2,994 is what I have written down here. Are we okay?
2,994
is good. 84.
84. 84.
Oh, 84. 2,984. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you take it off the back, then you probably won't have to take those trees out.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you go 19
yeah.
foot,
right.
then you won't have to take them trees right. out for sure.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And your wife will be happy.
So it's been moved by Commissioner Hensel with support by Commissioner Gonzalez to approve special land use 4-19 site plan review 3-19 on the condition that the total size of the structure when accessory structure when completed does not exceed 2,984 square feet. Mr. Mullen raised the issue about if there's any tree removal, there needs to be a tree replacement. Any thought in that regard?
There's so, lots of trees there. I don't agree with
and
that.
And I'm raising the issue, but I would right. concur.
And I don't think you'll have to take them out, and he probably won't.
Any further discussion?
Do we need to say that he does or doesn't need to do the deed restriction, or we're putting that up to?
You can. I guess you can ask Commissioner Henschel whether he wants to.
I don't quite understand it. Is that part of the ordinance? Do we have the ability to tell him he doesn't have to do that? I don't think we do.
I don't think we can.
So I think that's part of the ordinance. He's going to have to work it out with her.
Okay.
So I'd just leave that to her. I don't think it needs to be in my
book. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is special land use 6-19 site plan review 5-19. The applicant is David Elliott. This is for an accessory structure exceeding home by more than 150%. Must be the night to do this. This is a time and place set for public hearing and action. The applicant requests a special land use and site plan review approval for an expansion of an accessory structure, a garage which will exceed the existing single-family residence by more than 150%. Mr. Elliott is here if you'd like to give us a presentation.
Okay. I'm David Elliott, 759 George Street. I'm requesting an extension of my roof line on the pole barn, 12 feet, 32, is the overage over the 150.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, from having been, there was an existing structure there that you've removed, and you're essentially replacing that structure, and you're adding an additional 12 feet to the south side of that?
Yes.
Do you have a question?
I forgot.
I can tell you what happens to me all the time.
Oh, what percentage is it then? How close is he to the 150?
I can go another 900 feet to go up to the
because of his lot size.
Just barely over. Okay.
Yeah, he's over 8 acres, so he doesn't have that same restriction.
If I want to build another building, I know I'll have to come back and ask.
Okay.
Any other questions?
What about the discrepancy then in the drawings in the aerial?
Cleared up when we went there.
That was the fact that the building's gone.
Yeah, the building's gone, and I was looking at an aerial.
But he already has a permit to rebuild it, right?
He has a permit to build the extension and then the new structure, and he's requesting this additional area that then puts it over the 150% of the primary structure.
Okay.
So that's how we got here. And he got a land use permit to build the two structures, and it was under the 150%. Mm-hmm. But this addition puts him over the 150%. So that's why he is here this evening.
Well, I'll just amend his land use permit. I'm not going to make him get another one.
You're so nice.
Thank you. Thank you. We try to be helpful. Any other questions?
I have a question. The items such as, I think there were some sections of fencing and a freezer, that type of thing, will that be gone or in the building, or what's going to happen to...
I haven't been there, so if I see it, it will be gone.
Well, I would like... In my opinion, I think that should be part of a condition, if you can do that, or can do that. All right.
As a special land use, you have the ability to add conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So you could comply with
the junk ordinance.
The junk ordinance.
It might not be, though. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's items, so I wasn't sure what we were clarifying.
If I may. When we got the property, that was the structure that was now gone. There were over 800 gallons of paint I've removed. There's been all sorts of trash. The freezer is going in the metal pile, which I take to Padmas. The fencing was just added to the pile. All those things are going to be gone.
I'd like to, my proposal would be make that part of the condition, but that's up to the board. But
no, it's up to you if you want to make a motion.
I haven't made a motion yet. I'm just, we're going around first.
Yeah, right.
Who owned that before?
I don't know.
Who'd you buy that from?
Ed Brown.
Ed Brown.
I was a successful purchaser at an auction.com sale.
Ah.
Huh. How long ago was that?
5 years, maybe.
Oh.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, at this point, then, I will open up for public hearing. If any member of the public would like to address the Planning Commission with respect to this proposed special land use 6-19 site plan review 5-19, if there's any member of the public that would like to address the Planning Commission, please come up to the lectern and give us your name and address. Anyone wishing to speak? It's just a quiet evening this evening. Seeing no one wishing to address the Planning Commission, then I will close the public hearing at this point in time. And Mr. Mullen, is there anything that you would like to add?
Sure. Thank you. Just a few points. I think that the make sure that there's no storage of any dangerous substances. That's one of the requirements for the special land use approval. I think that the applicant is not planning on storing anything, but I just wanted to make sure that that's part of your review requirements.
Is there a particular phrase that needs to be used to comply with our zoning ordinance as opposed to dangerous substances? Is that defined?
It says not involve uses, activities, processes, materials, equipment, or conditions of operation that will be detrimental to any person, property, or general welfare by reason of excessive production of traffic, noise, vibration, smoke, fumes, glare, or odors. So there's kind of, and I'm just saying that we didn't have any information, so it's kind of hard to make a determination.
What was the section that you just quoted from?
602?
602F, which is one of the review requirements for special land use. And then with this site, the recordation of this the document for not splitting the parcel, because if you could split this property, and then you would then fall out of compliance with the accessories, the maximum accessory structure.
Depending on how you split it, I suppose.
Depending on, and that's it.
So is that the job of you when you before you give the permit, you know what they got to prove that. Okay.
So does that have to be part of a motion?
Does it need to be part of our motion?
It has to be a condition, I think, if we wish to make it a condition.
Okay.
It sounds like there may be others.
Make it a condition. Okay.
Okay. All set there? Okay. Bring it back to the Planning Commission then for any comments. And Judy, would you like me to start?
No comment.
Hold on just a second. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's no reason to add a requirement that I have a deed restriction. I have 17 acres. Right now, this structure is going to be connected to the original pole barn that's there. I'm asking to put a... I don't understand why you want to put in position. I can't split the property and put the existing pole barn on a separate property.
No, but you could sell some of the property.
So I think the issue here a little bit, okay, and I've got a way to maybe handle it, but the issue a little bit is that conceivably you could split the property, end up with a one-acre site on which you now have this building, which is now not in compliance, would not be allowed.
But the existing building now, I couldn't do that. If I split it now with the 30 by 40 pole barn,
Thank you.
Chuck mine too. Once I've attached these buildings, it becomes one structure.
It has to be attached to the residence, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to attach it to the residence to make it one structure.
I just don't see. I can't. So what you're saying is that I could right now split my property and have my 30 by 40 pole barn on a separate property that would be out of compliance.
Or
and I don't
you could make your property small enough that your percentage is too high.
Yeah, there's two ways. Obviously, we're looking at a future contingency here. Okay, yeah. And you may have no intent whatsoever, but you may not be owning this property ad infinitum, and somebody else may come in, right? So the issue is that a person can say, hey, I want to split my property, and then I also want to put this accessory structure on there that's going to be too big. So I think what I'll do is I'll get the accessory structure approved first, and then I'll split my property. And if you'd done it in reverse, you would not be allowed to do that, okay? So the issue, I think, what Mr. Mullen is raising is, hey, let's protect against anyone that might be thinking along that lines, and we'll say you cannot, one of the conditions will be that you cannot do a property split such that the approval that you just received would have not been allowed if you had done it beforehand. Am I understanding you correctly in that regard?
And correct. And it's a specific requirement of Section 6.03 of your ordinance. It's not a condition that I'm suggesting. It's an actual condition written into the ordinance. And it's also indicating that any future division will comply. So it's not saying you can't split. You just have to split your property in a manner that retains the legality of what we're approving.
Yeah, so then do we need to put in have him do a deed restriction if the ordinance says, hey, you're not allowed to split your property such that you're no longer in compliance on this?
Yeah, that's what 603.2 says.
It says that he must record in according to Section 6.
Recorded.
Maybe we can look at that part of the ordinance.
Right. I'm just saying that this is, as in your special, in Section 6 of the ordinance, it's specific standards and requirements. And for an accessory structure, this is one of those specific standards that should be, that the zoning ordinance stipulates for these special uses.
Okay. So on the last applicant, we did not include that, and I think we didn't include that because given his lot size, he could not split it anyway.
We did because I asked Ted, and Ted says as part of the ordinance we have to do it.
We didn't say anything about it.
So we didn't put it in the motion because it's a requirement.
Left it up to her to decide.
Okay, I apologize. I'm now confused. Okay, because basically what I'm understanding, I don't have the ordinance right in front of me, which might be helpful if I did, is that you're saying that pursuant to 603, there, one of the requirements is that there be a deed restriction.
Correct.
And what I'm understanding is that you have to be in compliance with the zoning ordinance if you do a split, and therefore you couldn't do a split if it puts you out of compliance. So isn't that two sides of the same thing?
Yeah, that's why we need to revisit this. But right now we can't, so we have to say deed restriction.
But that's something we should put on our list, housekeeping.
Right.
Obviously, we
record a deed that says I will not split my property in violation of the zoning.
I think that's probably correct then.
It kind of needs to say that.
Yeah, I guess. And my thought is that as long as you have 5+ acres where the structure is. So you can, whatever is legal on other splitting, as long as when you're done with your splits, you've got 5+ acres where the structure is located. Because that keeps you in compliance.
Right. Or you do a split and you're putting a new house that becomes the primary structure on that site that would make it in compliance as well.
Because the primary structure is now larger than the current structure.
Correct. I mean, so there's a couple ways. I mean, you could split a certain way that you're still in compliance. It's just saying that you're not going to split and become out of compliance.
It's 603.2.
And that's what the deed restriction would say.
Yeah, and that's it would be easy, one-liner.
Oh, okay.
Let's put the other side of it. And we can't do anything about it, so.
Yep, okay.
We're looking for a motion.
Okay. Well, any other questions, comments? Judy, did you have anything you wanted? I think you were talking about additional condition.
Yeah, well, just if I had made the motion, I was going to put that in there. Or do you want me to?
I guess if you want
we'll to make a motion.
That's the way it gets in there.
Right. Well, I'll start and we'll see where we go. I would motion that we approve special land use 619 site plan 519 accessory structure exceeding the home. With the condition of 602F, which is not to have any of the hazardous materials or equipment, et cetera, and then in compliance with 603, which is the specific standards of the deed restriction. And then also to become compliant with the junk ordinance, which I don't know the number on that one. I'm sorry.
2004-5.
I'm sorry?
2004-5.
2004-5. Thank you very much, Leslie.
I have one other thing. I removed from the property. I took 2 20-yard dumpsters out there. $330 each. I've taken at least 10 trips on my 6x10 trailer to American Lakes. I've taken so much junk off that property, plus the structure was falling down and dangerous. I've been in a good way.
Yeah, no, I think, and sorry, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying completely. And basically, what you're saying is, hey, I didn't create the junk that's on that property. I bought this property at an auction, and I've been working to get it cleaned up. So please don't insinuate, and I don't think that's what she's doing either, but please don't insinuate that I'm leaving my property as a mess and I'm a lousy neighbor, right? I understand what you're saying. And I think the bottom line here is what I'm getting from the motion is just that you, as along with any other citizen of East Bay Town, should be in compliance with Ordinance 2004-5. I think that's all that's being said here. So, but I understand your point. So, is there support for the motion?
I'll support.
So, it's been moved by Commissioner Nimitz with support by Commissioner Henschel to approve Special Land Use 6-19, Site Plan Review 5-19. I'll ask you if you have any questions or any further discussion. Based on the condition that the applicant comply with Zoning Ordinance 602F, and 603 and comply with the General Ordinance 2004-5. Any further discussion?
On my memorandum, it says Special Land Use 5-9.
I'll make sure it's right now.
Okay, I just wanted to make
sure. Is it 5-19?
The special land use is smaller than the...
So the special land use is 5-19 and the site plan review is 6-19.
But I know that, so...
Okay, I was just reading off my agenda, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the agenda's wrong. His report is right.
Oh, okay, sorry about that.
And I probably read off the agenda.
Yeah, we both did.
So just to, so it's special land use 5-19 and site plan review 6-19.
Yeah, sorry about that. It was reversed.
No, you did it right.
I know, but you throw the new guy under it.
Okay.
I always throw myself under the table.
Cheers. Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Post. Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is discussion regarding draft zoning ordinance amendment language regarding cellular tower language. This is a time set for discussion and to set a date for a public hearing. Mr. Mullen.
Sure. Before I've been brought in, Rick was working on some language to amend the cellular language. So pretty much what you see before you was prepared. There is a Mount Holiday ski area is looking for a cellular tower to provide coverage in that area. It's a Verizon tower. What's unique is that it would only be 75 feet tall. And so currently LDR districts do not allow any cellular towers. This would allow a 75-foot tower on no parcel that contains a residential use. So it would have to be a non-residential use parcel. You could have a 75-foot tall tower. And you would also have it would have to be 75, 150, over 300 feet from an adjoining residential property, if the property was residential. So the idea was that it would permit you to allow cellular towers under fairly unique circumstances in the LDR district, it probably would not be used in any other location because the height of the tower is on the top of a mountain. Therefore, it's going to get the distance it needs from its location, not from the actual height of the tower. So there's proposed language is in the yellow with bold to be added into section 3.0. Section 303, the table 3.1, to allow with a special land use in the LDR, also to add a new use, skiing and outdoor sports is allowed, and then adjusting section 4.01 for skiing and outdoor sports, and then adding the special land use for personal wireless service facilities, and then adding that again in section 634 as well.
So the amendment to add skiing and outdoor sports by right in the LDR is because right now why?
Because Mount Holiday is not any use. There it's there. And it's a non-conforming use. It's not even a legal non-conforming use because it's not a use.
Okay, I guess my concern, and I don't know that it would apply, but if it's as of right in an LDR, does that mean that if somebody else wants to put a ski area in a particular location, they have the right to do that?
That's correct. I mean,
do we want to do that?
Well, you could choose to make it an SLU use. This is up for discussion.
Yeah,
and this would be right, and then this would be if you so chose that it could go before for a public hearing at the next month's meeting. Mm-hmm.
I guess my thought would be I'd be more comfortable with a special land use as opposed to by right. But
this is all because they want to put up a cell tower.
Correct, and they wanted and Rick wanted to clear up why, how did we have a use on that property that's not defined at all anywhere in the zoning.
It's an oversight. Allowing for the cell tower, but in addition, cleaning up something else at the same time.
Correct.
Is there a cell tower? Is there one there?
No. They want to put one.
Verizon's requesting to put one there to provide coverage for the ski area and also provide coverage for the subdivision in the area.
So do they have to get approval from the FAA?
Oh, yes. Sure.
Okay, yeah, because that is on the landing.
Well, yeah, anything over a certain height has to be.
Yeah, it's pretty much right on the.
Yeah, it's right in the landing zone. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But, are we doing a lot of changing?
Blue Angels won't like it.
That couldn't they just go to the ZBA or something?
Yeah, but this way they're going to be conforming instead of non-conforming.
Well, if we make it a special land use, do they have to come before us, or they're okay?
I would say that they then become a legal non-conforming use because you've defined it, even though they've never had a special land use to approve it.
So they would not need to come here.
No.
Unless they expand.
All right.
If they expanded today,
I don't know
where they would expand. There's nothing.
Off the back
I just always worry about unintended consequences.
No, I agree.
And
I
do something by right, are we going to end up with an unintended consequence that we're not thinking about now, like where it could be and what it is, and maybe not, but I'd rather have some, you at least got to come back here for a special land use, and at that point we say, well, wait a minute, we never would have intended that to happen.
I don't know what's going on here, but it seems like we don't usually do it this way.
Okay.
So, I mean, changing the zoning for something that nobody's asked for. I don't understand. It doesn't sound right to me.
Well, the big part of doing it is to make it so that they have a use. We don't have this use in the.
They're
the
grandfathered in.
They're not, but they're not a legal conforming or they're a non-use. There is no use defined by.
They're not a recognized use.
They're not a recognized use.
Only.
So this is cleaning up. This is to clean up an oversight in your ordinance. Is all it is.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, but I'd just be more concerned that it be a special land use and not by right.
Right, and so that means if they would come to make a major change, they would have to come and get a special land
or rezone that piece of property.
To what?
To recreation.
Ski and outdoor. Ski and outdoor?
It's not defined now. You still have to define it. It's not defined, right?
So there's nowhere.
There's nothing you could rezone it to that would allow the use because it's not a recognized use.
You're opening one heck of a big can of worms, guys.
So we don't have anything zoned recreational in our township? What do we call Who has
Well,
the,
you do. You got the
right,
golf
parks.
Courses.
Golf. I think we defined it as a golf course.
Its zone is different than your use.
Okay.
Your zoning, you have.
Each zoning district has certain uses that are allowed by right, and some are allowed by special land use.
Well, why can't we say that a ski area is a right by use in that area, rather than go to the? Why are we going with a cell tower?
No. These are two separate issues.
All right.
Two separate issues. Verizon wants to put a cell tower up.
Oh, Verizon.
Right now it's all not right. allowed, and so we need to do an amendment that would, in fact, allow it here and probably not anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
While we're digging ourselves into this, hey, we've got a use that's not even a recognized use, so why don't we, if we're going to amend this section, let's amend it and add this as a recognized use so that they're at least recognize what it is, right?
Yes. I would say that it's an oversight that this use was not designated in your ordinance. So all we're doing is saying let's recognize a use that's an existing use within the township. If you choose to make it a special land use or as a right use, that's a kind of a separate issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And my thing is I
still think you should rezone it. That's what we did for Louis Grove.
What do you want to rezone it to?
Well, you
what do you want to rezone it to?
Yeah, but he wasn't going to be ag. We left him in ag, I guess you could say.
Yeah, we didn't rezone it.
What do you want to rezone it to?
Well, we should have a category for it. I mean, otherwise you're opening it up to wherever. You don't know where they're going to want to build one next.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, and please correct me on the boundaries of it, but the property that we had a couple years ago that was, they were trying to build back there.
Yeah, now it's a
preserve. Mm-hmm. Well, that property and the property that backs up to Mount Holiday and the property that goes out to Prouty right now is in a grant application to get that property and put that all in the conservancy.
And you're going to give it to Holiday to use.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I know. How long? 3, 4, 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I gotcha.
So this cell tower thing concerns me because of that. Mm-hmm. As
why does
well.
It concern you because of that? I'm not sure. I'm not saying there's not a connection, but I'm not seeing it.
Might mess up the grant, you think?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about how we could have even had the grant application with a use, not a use in the township.
Well, because the land that's being part of the grant is not that ski area. Because the ski area is a different parcel. So the land that you're speaking of is the parcel 1 south, 2 south, 3 south of it. So it doesn't even impact the ski hill.
But it does because the agreement that we have for maintenance is with the ski hill.
But it still remains separate parcels.
Right. And under the zoning, you don't have a recreational zoning district. You have a nature area zoning district. You don't have a recreational zoning district. So your parks and golf courses are within other zoning districts.
Yes, and then you're looking at, gee, I'm just going to zone a district based on its use. And I don't think that's an appropriate thing to do. I think you have a zoning district of which you allow various uses.
It all depends if you want more.
Pardon?
It all depends if you want more or not.
More cell towers.
Well,
no. More.
Right now we're just talking about
ski areas. Yeah.
Ski and outdoor, whatever you call it. Well, ski and outdoor,
even
so it could be all kinds
that.
Of could be cross-country skiing. I don't know. I'm just saying it seems
I think we're running afoul of it. My only comment was, if we're going to do it, and we can talk about whether we should do it or not do it, but if we're going to do it, I would rather have it as a special land use and not a use by right. Because I think if you make it a use by right in a low-density residential, who knows, somebody else... There's some hills by Prouty Road, and we want to put in some towers and lights, and we got a use by right, and you can't tell me I can't do it.
Right.
Wait a second here. That's not an appropriate spot for putting all this infrastructure in for a ski hill.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And then you retain some additional review
control
power.
Over what goes in where. So that's my thought. I'm okay with otherwise with what you got here.
So in your uses, you have a use for golf courses?
Yes. Golf courses is a use that's already in section. I remember reading about it in the notes that I was looking at. So
we need a use of a ski resort?
Yeah, which is what this adds.
But just as a use? Just as a use.
Correct. It's just a use.
and then you turn around and say which...
Districts
it can be applied for as a special use.
Correct.
I'd go along with that. That makes sense.
I don't like the definition of skiing and outdoor sports.
Yeah, I got a problem mm-hmm. with outdoor sports. I mean,
that's big.
It seems to me you could have other things being developed as being outdoors.
Well, even Mount Holiday right now, I mean, you've got your zip lines there, you've got your restaurant there, you've got, they did have disc golf. I don't know if it's there right now or not, but.
And those are all accessory uses to a ski resort.
I mean,
couldn't you have those in areas without the ski resort?
We have a zip line at Pirates Cove. We have
outdoor skiing at
Timbasa.
Tim Ridge.
Yeah. Nordic.
Maybe it's skiing and outdoor winter sports.
Well, I think what I'm getting from Mr. Gonzalez is that you can do skiing, but I think maybe you need a list of what the outdoor sports are that you're anticipating, as opposed to leaving it somewhat open-ended.
Yes.
So kind of give us
create a...
4, 5, 6, 10, whatever.
Okay.
You know, well, and then we can either eliminate some or
again,
add
it's
to
law
it.
Of unintended consequences. You know, you've got this warning. And what
I want to put up, you know, again, if it's by right, I want to put up an outdoor hockey rink with lights
Sweet.
And
outdoor
seating
camping.
For 5,000, and I want to put it in the middle of the subdivision.
A yurt. A yurt village.
Did you? I'm sorry.
I think we need a definition of outdoor sports and have a list after it, and I think it needs to be a special land use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think skiing needs to be an item except for in the definition of outdoor sports.
Okay, so in other words, outdoor sports would be a special land use. Outdoor sports is defined as skiing, cross-country skiing, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay. Any other comments about that or...
Yeah, just on that thing about outdoor sports, you would qualify that as being the winter outdoor sports because baseball is the same thing. And
I think
unless
they have disc golf.
Oh, they're going to list them. That's
I'll come up with the list.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think you could, depending on how you want to handle it, we could come back and talk about it next month, or we could hold a public hearing and talk about it.
Talk
as
about
well.
It.
Right, talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so bring back a revised proposal with the definition of outdoor sports.
The only concern is that folks are interested in the tower portion, not the...
Let's start talking about that now, because that's a different situation. That's a different item here. So what's the scoop on the tower again? Say that again. So right now, they want to build a tower in LDR. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
And it's not allowed at all?
Correct.
And how's it on the water
tower?
Not
even under... I thought towers were considered...
Wait, let's hold it one at a time.
I thought towers were considered essential services and that we can't really stop them.
No.
If they can prove that they have to have it.
No.
That's what I remember from the tower down on the bay.
No, that was because we didn't have an ordinance.
Okay. No, you can have, for a new tower, you can have a special land use approval for wireless communications, but you cannot outright not allow them.
In certain areas.
And if you have... You have to allow co-location.
I understand that.
Right.
But as for the tower itself, where do we allow them now?
Wireless is allowed in...
I know it's on whatever the Miracle Mile is called. And we got one out in the Lakes area.
We got one on Hammond and then Brown Bridge. Brown Bridge, we have one in Hammond, I think, the top
they
of Hammond, right?
RR, SLU, in RR, LB, RB, EO, IND, AG, LA, BR, and NA.
Well, then the better question is, where are they not allowed?
And the ones he didn't mention.
So, I know. They're not allowed in the LDR, the MDR, the HDR, the MHC, and the EBC.
East Bay Corners. Okay. Right. So that's legal? We can actually stop them? If they said they had a black hole right here and they needed a tower, we could actually stop them from putting it here?
Correct.
No, I didn't know that. I thought it was an essential service that
we
couldn't stop.
It was a power company.
Okay. Okay. So all you want to do is you want to add it to LDR.
Correct.
Because that particular spot is LDR.
Because that particular spot is LDR, and there's a hole there, and this would solve the hole. And so this is a request that the township has received and has been working with an applicant.
And there's no towers in the area to cohabitat on.
No.
Not that we'll create.
You feel comfortable that the way that this has been drafted is that it would be allowed in the LDR in that particular location, but given the limitations, not likely anywhere else.
Correct, because it's only 75 feet tall, which, you know, if you're on a standard grade, it's not tall enough.
How tall is the one down in the bay? Was it 80?
Oh, it's taller than that.
Yeah, most towers are probably about 120 to 200.
Yeah.
Well, there are no 200s around in this area, I don't think.
So
even the one out in the Lakes area is not 200.
No, the Brown Bridge
maybe
one is.
What is the canopy usually, about 80 feet?
Yeah.
And it sticks up above that.
Yeah, it does.
So 100 foot maybe.
Yeah, I think it's 100, 120.
And one on Rancho is like 120.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Mindy, do you have a question?
How is there one on the water tower then?
Oh yeah, you got the water tower.
It's an existing structure.
You know, I mean, I'm assuming
they're already on the water tower.
Verizon is.
There's still a hole.
There's still a
hole. Right. Right, but the water towers are in LDR.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
So how can't you have them in LDR?
Well, that's not a tower, though.
The
they're
water.
On a structure.
That's an essential service.
Yeah, you're putting a radio on an existing. This is, I believe, the definition, and I'm not sure, would be for the personal wireless communication facility. The facility includes the tower. Because you're not building a tower, then you can put the radio on an existing structure. Let me look at the facility.
Right. And that's what we wanted when we drafted that, because that's the easiest way to.
So a personal wireless services facility are transmitters, antenna structures, antennas, and other types of installation used for the provision of personal wireless services.
Any other questions, comments, thoughts, perspectives, suggestions?
In this will be a SLU?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I think you have sufficient direction to proceed. Now, is the other issue that can they wait for another 60 days with respect to revision of language to allow the cell tower?
Why can't you split it up? We could have a public hearing next month on the cell tower issue.
We can split them if you want them split.
Yeah, but this language doesn't exist for that.
If we set it up for public hearing on
this, it's bad too.
And the commission says, "Gee whiz, we want to look a little bit more at this language about sport activities or outdoor sport activities." But if the whole thing's set for public hearing, we can make it. I would say less restrictive. I don't know if that's the right way of putting it, though. We could at that point chop it off and say we'll do a motion to approve this portion and not the rest. We could set it all up for public hearing next month, and if we feel comfortable, we could pass the whole thing or reject the whole thing, or we could just pass
split them.
Part of it and say we want more input on the other part.
Remember they're going to be under the gun. This is a short month. So whether he's going to have time to write all that, plus take in all this guy down the street and all whatever else you got going, I don't know.
I'll leave that up to you.
I believe the interest is to address the issue.
Okay, so let's address the issue then. Right. So I think the idea would be to bring us back a proposed ordinance covering both of these issues.
Right.
But we may bifurcate them and just...
Correct, and I'll work on getting the listing split out of the what outdoor activities are. And we're thinking about outdoor activities that will be at a ski resort. So we're thinking of tubing, skiing, cross-country skiing. I'm just trying to...
Snowboarding.
Mountain biking.
Disc golf.
Disc golf.
They also have that. I don't know if that's a sport where they do that bike. Well, we did mountain biking. They do that bike thing out there too.
They do for the pumpkin dash run thing.
So if we're close, then you all think of another word or two. I think that's easy to throw in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we'll get it close, and then.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Just want to make sure you're going to be addressing only those outdoor sports or activities that are dealing with winter/ski resorts, correct?
Winter or ski resort activities.
I just want to make sure.
Right. Well, they have activities year-round.
Yeah, my thing is I don't know that I would necessarily, because Mount Holiday may have events in the summertime to make themselves some money, and it's outdoor. You know, they might have a running race there. They may have, you know, other little things that they can come up with that I don't know that I would necessarily say no, but only it has to be if there's snow on the ground.
No, I wasn't saying that. I was more for the more broad, but I heard you were limiting it, so I'm just making sure that...
Oh, no, but I'm thinking mountain biking, disc golf, golf, skiing, tubing.
I hear you.
And similar activities found at other, or I mean, I'll come up with something.
Okay.
And similar activities.
Okay.
Similar outdoor sports activities.
Okay. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda then is draft zoning ordinance. Do we need a motion to set this for a public hearing? We do not on this.
Well, I don't know. Look, if you're positive, you'll have it ready.
I believe that the supervisor would like it to be ready.
Yeah. Do you need a motion from us to do that?
I think it's what your normal process is to
set
up.
And do I remember? I don't remember that we've done that before.
No, we don't need a motion.
Okay.
So, next item on the agenda is draft zoning ordinance amendment language regarding bed and breakfast language. This is time for discussion and to set a date for public hearing. Mr. Mullen.
Sure. Thank you. As you all are probably familiar with, there was a major effort to address the short-term rentals, and a general ordinance is in the process of being approved by the board regarding short-term rentals. Through that process, there was some identification of that the bed and breakfast regulations needed some improvement and some adjustment. There was an existing bed and breakfast ordinance, but I think they felt that they wanted some clarity to make sure that there was separation between the two activities and that we were able to clarify those. So today we did meet with a bed and breakfast operator who did bring up a couple of good suggestions. They are active, and they had some recommendations, so I'll describe some of those as we go through. A couple of the items that we were looking feedback from the board was what would be the number of rooms that would be permissible in a B&B as a right, and then what would then kick it over to the SLU review. The state law currently stipulates 10 rooms was the maximum. We had prepared the draft language that at 6 would kick you over, 6 guest rooms. It would kick you over to a special land use is how it is written here. Some of the language that I had seen that Rick had prepared was up to 14 rooms that would be guest rooms. That's above the state definition. Number two is in what district?
Do you want some feedback on that one first?
However you want.
Why don't we just look at that? Give me some feedback there. So,
sure.
So the proposal in here is 6.
Six after discussion and talking about allowing them, because I wasn't aware that the community that so many of the properties are in platted subdivisions or site condos, that it would make sense to maybe take that number down of guest rooms to 4. That would be my recommendation from 6. Just because that's 6. That would be 4, potentially 4 different cars additionally at the house, probably 3. But in a sub, that could be getting to be a more intense use. So that was one of the discussions, and Leslie is the one who really said, no, I think we need to have them, because all the subs are around the lakes, platted subdivisions around the lakes. So I was thinking it was more farmhouses that had were not in subdivision. So that was just my not understanding.
So your suggestion was drafted here is 6. Your suggestion is 4. But anything in the excess of whether it's 6 or 4 would be a special land use that we could approve.
Correct.
Any thoughts as to a number?
I would go with 6 conforming, because there are many homes. Now, I mean, there's one right down the street from me that has way more than 4 bedrooms. And I know we're all thinking cottages on the lake, but there's not cottages, a lot of cottages anymore. I hate to tell you. They're big. And people are remodeling them. And Acme, if you read the paper today, Acme just had had a thing that they have to revise their bed and breakfast because people with short-term rentals are circumventing the fee and the fines, et cetera, and saying, I don't have a short-term rental, I have a bed and breakfast.
Our bed and breakfast says you have to live on the premises.
Right. But there are lots of people with short-term rentals that live
on the premises.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's differentiate between before he goes to the next sort of thing. So I'm looking at a number of bedrooms. Do you have a thought as to what the... So you've said six in your view would be the cutoff. And if you don't have a thought, that's right now, that's okay, because it's going to come back to us. But it helps if we can give them some direction of where we're thinking.
What do you say? The state said 10? Their definition of a B&B...
After 10, then it's a hotel?
I think that they're saying... They defined it up to 10 under the state law.
Okay.
So if somebody
has a bed and breakfast and they want to have a bed and breakfast, they have 10 rooms, if they have adequate parking and they're not bothering the neighbors, are we going to say no just because they have 10 rooms?
No, that's one of the special land use.
Up to 10.
Up to 10 under special land use.
But if it's 11,
then it's a hotel.
Correct.
And I'm okay with that if that's state's designation.
Right. Well, when you say my understanding, again, was that the 10 that the state said was not a special land use. Anything above 10 would become a special land use.
No, the state just said it's a bed and breakfast. It was up to 10 rooms, 10 guest rooms.
Okay. After 10, it's a hotel.
It's no longer, okay.
We decide if it's a special land use.
Right.
But we can say 4 rooms. You don't have to...
And that's what I'm asking.
And I think it should, because now you're getting into parking problems.
So you would agree that saying, hey, you can have 4, you don't need a special land use.
Right.
And then I see what you're saying now. I would agree
after
with that.
After 4, you need a special
land use. I would say that. I was reading it backwards.
Sure they have adequate.
You like 3.
I like 3 because you've got to be using one for... Mm-hmm. You have to live there. So a 4-bedroom house with 3 guest rooms.
Except that they're talking about rental sleeping rooms.
Right, so they're talking about a bedroom.
Just a bedroom.
A bedroom. Okay, remember, Paul, that this whole thing came up because of those people that were renting rooms in their home through Airbnb, and that they are not included in our short-term rental ordinance. Okay, so that's why they are considered bed and breakfast, and to allow them, we have to have a revised bed and breakfast ordinance. So we are talking about those, I don't know how many of them are there out there, but it's the people that are renting out. It might just be a room. It might be a little suite. It might be, you know, a granny quarters or whatever they want to call them. But no, it's not. You can't do that. So it...
It just has to be a bedroom. You can't have a kitchen in it or anything like that.
Okay, we keep saying bedrooms, but have we defined what we mean by a rental sleeping room? Is that like a pull-out couch in somebody's living room?
Again, you know, I don't know if that's going to be covered in your presentation, and maybe I should have let you do the whole thing at once.
That's what I was going to say.
But I sort of thought it might be easy to say, okay, let's take that one. What do we think? So, I mean, at some point, yes, I presume we're going to have to have a definition of what is a bedroom. If you're limited to, you know, 4 bedrooms and beyond that you need special land use, what qualifies as a bedroom?
Well, I think with in bed and breakfast, you don't always have a bathroom and suite.
No.
So it can be just a bedroom, and you can be sharing bathroom facilities down the hall or Jack and Jill bathrooms. So... intent, I didn't really go into define it, but it does then, in the ordinance, it does talk about number of square feet of a room. A rental sleeping room shall have a minimum size of 100 square feet for each 2 occupants, with additional 30 square feet for each occupant, to a maximum of 4 occupants per room.
And it does.
That's existing in your language today.
Okay, but it doesn't talk about conforming, which means you have egress for fire, you know, another one other than the door. I mean, there are many places that only have a door. They don't have a window. They don't have...
Yeah.
They're non-conforming bedrooms.
So to me, a bedroom would need a window.
Or a form of...
I think it would need a window.
Yeah.
We can take that definition from the short-term rental or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And throw it in there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of...
So are we okay with four? Is four of the seem to be the consensus?
I'm okay with four.
Four bedrooms total.
So three.
Three of which are being
rentals.
Rented.
Okay,
so three is what you're saying.
Actually,
well, I think it's...
I would think that... I'm thinking that was three.
Okay, however you want to do it, I think we're in agreement.
Three.
Whether it's four, including the homeowner's bedroom, or three, not including the homeowner's bedroom.
Three guest rooms. That was a good way of saying it.
Okay.
And then after that, then the SLU up to 10 guest rooms, or...
I like that.
I'm okay with that, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, next, do you want to go to the next little...
Sure, in which district should we permit these? So, is it, because the way it was originally written was it was going to be permitted in almost every district except for, like, industrial and one other one. I wasn't sure. I thought that in a... heavy commercial district, we want a bed and breakfast. So I kind of wanted some guidance from the board what was in and out. So I think we should, you know, look at the, like, airport services. We're not looking to have single, you know, bed and breakfast. So I think that would be out. Village center, regional business. The question would be LB, is it local business? I don't know. All right. But then professional office, I think it may, because sometimes, and I'm not quite sure of your description in your ordinance, because sometimes professional office has residential uses allowed within it.
It has to be owner-occupied.
Ours does not.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the question a little bit to me, as I'm understanding it, is that you may have a residence in some other district. I don't think there's, you know, in an ag district, for example.
Correct.
And if we didn't include bed and breakfast in the ag district, then that person, that homeowner, could not
correct
do that. And so, to me, it's I'd have a hard time limiting it to anybody that's got a home to say you can't because your home's in the wrong spot. Now, and if it's... If it's, say, the ag district, somebody, you know, there's some limitations on building a new home, and so you couldn't just build a bed and breakfast and say, I'm going to live in it in some other, you know what I'm saying? Am I making sense? I mean, I'd hate to limit that if somebody's got a house in a district that's not an LDR, MDR, or HDR, that they couldn't rent out a room.
No, right, but I think, but I agree, but I think you'll have, you know, there's some districts that, it, you know, yes, the lakes area, I think you want it in there. Agricultural, yes. Natural area, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the professional office, no. The local business, regional business, no. And the village center and the airport services districts, no.
But could there be, and are there houses that are in the professional office district now? There are homes or there are not?
There are homes that are in it now.
Yeah, and so...
People are just living in.
Yeah, so we would say, sorry, you can't do it because...
It's not in a business park or anything.
Right.
I think no, because it's a single-family dwelling right now, and they can do it because it's a single-family dwelling. And I think we should limit it to single-family dwellings, too, not to condos or apartments
right.
or anything.
Yeah, because of parking and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's just, I mean, a condo, if you're in a condo building, you... weren't thinking that your neighbors are going to be running a bed and breakfast.
Well, I don't know if you think that if you're in a...
I don't think that in down my residential street. I don't think someone's running a bed and breakfast. And it's a residential street. It's zoned residential. I live in the lakes. You know? I mean, I don't think about someone running a...
It's back to the same thing. Everybody talks about how,
right.
you know, how the hills... For example, is a subdivision. Well, there's subdivisions all over the
right.
lakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, if your deed restriction says what it says, how they do, you're not going to have any
right.
practice.
How about if I create a list?
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
And then I'll put it in there, and then we'll see if there's any that want in or out.
Yep.
All right. Maximum number of guest rooms allowed, I think we agreed that we'll go with the 8 and 10. And then we dealt with the prohibition of platted subdivisions or condominiums, but you had recommended that we put back in that they're in conforming in districts where their lots are conforming.
Yeah, I don't think that we can say that they have to be conforming lots. How many houses out there are not on conforming lots, especially in the Lakes area?
Probably about
400.
No, okay, that's good.
Just the sleeping quarters.
The sleeping quarters need to be conforming.
Right.
Which leads me to one question. Why did they strike the idea of not having a smoke detector? And
I'll explain.
Yeah, I got to hear this.
Well, because that is in the state law for a bed and breakfast, and I don't like putting in requirements that are from the state law that if the state law changes, now you have conflict. So I think that the state law is going to run and require
requires it.
Yeah, it's already required.
Okay.
I don't think
okay.
we should require it twice because if the state law changes, now we have a law that's out of conformance and could be in conflict.
Okay.
That's why.
That's fine. I was just curious as to why it would be taken out.
There's a lot of stuff that we don't have authority to do. That's already.
Yeah.
So are all owner-occupied Airbnb properties considered by state law as to be bed and breakfasts?
Airbnbs, if there's someone on site, but not all most Airbnbs.
I'm just talking about the ones that would fit in our. So
well,
they're owner occupied and they're running rooms.
Then I would think that it's conforming.
That meets our
definition mm-hmm. right now.
But does it meet the state's definition?
Are you saying do they have to be licensed?
Is there a license? Or do they? Does this number 5 that's striked out, do people know this? Do they know that there has to be a smoke detector and a fire extinguisher?
The building official should be identifying that.
So can we say,
if you want to leave it in,
no,
that's
no,
fine.
Instead, should it say that
comply
all B&Bs must comply with all state laws regarding smoke detectors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes.
Safety equipment.
And so whatever, if they change the law, as long as they're compliant with the law, but at least puts them on notice, because I think that's Mindy's concern.
Yes.
Is that, yeah, they may be in violation of the state law, but once the fire happens and somebody dies, it doesn't really matter at that point.
And the township didn't say that we had to have one, so we didn't.
Relative life safety requirements or something like that.
It must comply with state law with respect to,
Okay, yep. I just didn't want to call it out specifically and then have that disjointed.
Yeah,
but I like.
Say you must have one detector, and the state law comes in and says you must have two in a room because it's so many feet. Now all of a sudden there's two of them.
That makes sense. You want to raise it and say, pay attention to this.
Yeah, that's her point. Oh. It makes sense to me.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay, but Mr. Mullins got the floor because I'm going to try to get us out of here at a reasonable hour.
Some kind of a license.
All right. I like your way to handle that. I appreciate that. On section 2, shall the township attorney recommended it be in the positive, not in the negative. So that was why that change is there. I'm not sure why that language was, the next line was cut out, but that was in a previous version to me.
I wasn't sure what that meant either.
Mm-hmm. Right, and maybe that's why it was cut out to just. We'll adjust number 5. Number 6, there's adequate site area to provide buffering. I think that that's important if we're having like a 7 or 8 or 9 unit one in buffering, and wanting to make sure that you condition buffering for the parking lots and parking areas.
And that would come in if it's a special land use. That
correct,
would come in.
Correct. That we're going to, 7 will completely change because we're going to not prohibit it, and that's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you. Mr. Gonzalez, did you have a question?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
And then we're going to go with 3, or less are permitted, that's 4 or more will require special land use approval. We are going to adjust this. We're going to eliminate shall not be allowed. Shall be allowed on lots or such parcel, including legal nonconforming, because of Leslie's, I think that's correct, and we should. Parking, is that sufficient? Do we?
Yeah, my question on that is, what about no on-street parking?
Must provide off-street parking.
And
there's lots of language in the short-term rentals regarding parking.
Precisely.
Okay.
If we could steal that.
Parking.
One thing I just now am looking at, the zoning ordinance requires homes to have 2 cars. Why are we now turning around and saying they only need 1? I'm just, most homes, single-family homes, have to have space for 2 parking spaces. I think we should.
I like 2.
I think it should be. We're now all of a sudden saying, you don't have to comply with the.
Well, that is for a sleeping room. 1 space for a rental sleeping room.
Plus one per owner occupant.
Plus 2. Yeah. I gotcha.
Okay.
I'm for that.
The sign ordinance, this was just copying the exact sign ordinance. And we already state in section in number 9 above that you will be in compliance with section 215. Again, I just don't want to, if we change the sign ordinance and we forget to change it here, we get into conflict.
Can we, in section 2.9, say that that's the sign ordinance somewhere?
Well, Sean, in section 2, I'll put the title in there.
Yeah, perfect. And same with, parking. I guess you don't need to because it says signs and parking and there's a second word, but.
But we do that. All right. The use of snowmobiles shall be prohibited. If I remember correctly, they were allowed, but.
By who?
If they were, one of the versions said that they could be allowed, and one of the versions prohibited them in the language I was looking at. And I forgot how this went. Unless recreational activities shall be prohibited. I remember how this reads. That we would, they must be permitted by a special land use document. That these uses could be allowed if you received a special land use for them. That the problem was, if you have less than, I said 6, but now we're going to say less than 3, you didn't even need a special land use. So here we're saying you if you are going to allow snowmobiles, all-terrain vehicles, similar things, say you're on a parcel that backs up to a park or something, we're saying
you'll need a special land use.
You need a special land use to allow that use,
even
though the rest, you don't need a special land use for the 3 or less. So I just wanted to make sure we are.
Well, I'm just curious about people who drive up with their boat or in the motorhome, and they're there, and we're in a, this is going to be everywhere, back to the old issues, and we have, a high-density neighborhood.
I think one thing is we just corrected the parking issue with a motorhome that it's not going to be allowed because unless they can get it off street, it can't be parked out front.
So what you're saying, if I live on the lake and I want to Airbnb my 2, they can't use my boat?
No, I don't think, no.
You can't bring a boat.
Oh, But they could use a boat that I would have.
If you said you only had two rooms, but you then said, I would like to offer this and get special land use approval.
I have to get special land use approval to.
For the boating use.
Yeah. Really?
Whether it's your boat or their boat.
Right. Because the rest of your lakefront property owners might not want you having people zipping around on the lake, and they'll have an opportunity to.
That's going to be interesting to monitor.
And then you got to change it to three or less, and then with
right.
four or more guest rooms.
Right.
Resorts do it all the time.
Nine, that's so most of the homes we can allow it. And then we do want a site plan, but we didn't want to, Leslie and I didn't want to require it to be a specific scale or anything. We just want to know what the layout of the house is, what the layout of the lot is. So we wanted to allow them some opportunity. Number 12, that is the county health code's requirement, that eight or more guest rooms must provide, that they must get approval from the health department. And then when we were meeting with the folks who are currently operating, they did have two additional recommendations. Number one, no outside accommodations in tents, yurts, RVs, or similar structures. And then two, no ADUs may function as a B&B.
No, well, I'm sorry.
No, accessory dwelling units may function. And then in the definition, they also suggested they didn't want to have to serve food, because then you invite the health department in, and they were saying, just make it may serve food for free, so that it allows you the opportunity not mm-hmm. to, you know, I mean, they're like, we will provide a bagel, we will provide some fruit, we provide coffee, but I'm not making waffles, pancakes.
Continental breakfast.
Yes, continental breakfast. And that, I thank you for your time.
Any other thoughts on this other than we've already talked about?
Yeah, I was just wondering about this, between this and the parity with short-term rentals. You know, do we require a license? Do we require them to notify their neighbors? All the items that we list in the short-term rental is not here.
Yeah, I think the big difference is you're living on the premises. So you can't then become an industrial size short-term rental landlord that are buying up 10, 20 houses in town, and you've got no oversight as to what's going on. And right. so we need some oversight. Whereas right. to me, it's a little different that you're living in the same place. You can only have one spot because you got to be living there. And so because you're living there, gee whiz, the neighbors aren't likely to complain about the noise, because you've got the same problem with the noise and you're going to say something to your guests.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But I would think there'd be some notification to the neighbors.
Well, any over three will be a special land use and require notification to your neighbors.
What he's talking about is that in the short-term rental, as part of the application process, the owners have to notify their neighbors mm-hmm. of what's going on. And there's other things in there, like a copy of the fireworks ordinance, you know, for the guests, you know, a copy
labels.
Of yeah, lake rules for the guests. There's stuff in the short-term rental ordinance that I would encourage you to look at, because it's been 4 years in the making, that I think does apply to this as well. Obviously not all of it, but
I guess my thought, Paul, would be for you to look at that.
Right, but you might be at the grocery store and, you know, that kind of thing, so, or going to work.
I think for you to look at the short-term rental ordinance, too, and say, geez, I think it would be important to have this section in or this other section into our B&B ordinance, and to bring that up. I think that would be helpful for you to do. I mean, we can all do that. But
okay.
But if you sort of say, geez, I think, why should
the bed and breakfast not have to comply with some of the things that the short-term rental does. Maybe there are some things that you're right. I don't know that we can necessarily decide that.
Now, well, I could just see this, the beginning where we're going to have a meeting, or not a meeting, but somebody else, and they're going to turn around and say, we short-term rental people doing X, Y, Z, but they don't have to do this, and we have to do this, and I can just see this slowly.
Yeah, I'm open to whatever we want to put in there.
Yep.
To me, there's a big difference between being on site and living there and not living there.
Oh, I agree.
So because you're living there, I think you don't necessarily have to have all of the same requirements as one does when they're not living there.
But I understand what you're saying. You're saying the person is living there, but think about it as just think about it as a neighbor. I would want to be notified.
We're not deciding that right now.
No, but so, I know. I'm just trying.
Again, I'm looking at the time, and we're not going to decide that right now.
Right.
So if there are things that you think, I think we ought to have this in our ordinance that I don't see here, by all means, we need to bring it up. But we don't have it in front of us to be able to go through the checklist. So I think my thought would be is that you go, each, if you want to, you go through it and you say, I'd like to take some of this from this ordinance, and I'd like A, B, and C to be put into this. And I think you can give Mr. Mullen a call before the next meeting and says, I think this should be in here. And he may then put it in, or he may say, it was raised by Commissioner Gonzalez or it was raised by Commissioner Leonard, that we may want to consider these other 5 points. And so then we'll have them directly in front of us at the next meeting to say, hey, I agree. I didn't think about that, and I'm glad he brought that up. And then make a decision.
And it seems that I would not put this up for public hearing at the night. It sounds like we're more talking.
Maybe.
Because I think, right, because I think because the short term was such a long process, and I think we, even though this has been functioning and been functioning rather well, it's the time to look at it again. And there's no rush on this. I think it's more of we want to keep an eye on it, make sure we're addressing the issue. And I don't think it's as timely. There's as time sensitivity if we take an extra month.
Yeah, my thought would be just to kind of look at that short-term rental ordinance.
No, I'm not going to rush the judgment on this one.
No, well, I'm not suggesting that either. But I think rather than having Mr. Mullen come back with a rewrite, and then we say, well, we should have these other things from the short-term rental ordinance in here. Well, let's kind of do that in the next month to give it to him for him to kind of put his 2 cents in. And some he may say, I agree, I think it should be in there, or I'm not sure about this, but let's put it up for discussion.
Sure.
So I think we should discuss all that, but I'm just trying to be as efficient with our time as we can be.
The only thing I want to know is, does the state have any say? Is there any state agency that B&Bs can or has to report to? That's all I want to know. I will have to look into it. I don't believe but I can't say for certain.
Right. So you're asking whether the state has any oversight on B&Bs?
Right. Or like we said, does the health department get involved if they serve breakfast or if they serve lunch? I didn't think they did.
If they're serving food for payment, and I think if they're preparing food, it may be for guests.
I'd like to know
if it's 10 or more. I think it was 11 or 11.
Well, it was 8 or more for the health department. I'm not sure where the food
is. Up to 8, then they kick in.
Right. Well, the health department, you have to have a license over 8.
Okay. Any other, and I'm not trying to limit, any other thoughts, questions, comments about all of this? Okay. Any public comment that anyone would like to make this evening? Finally, please come up and give us your name and your address.
I'm Sally Guerrero, and I live at 3234 Town Line Road. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you guys talked in the last couple hours. But in the last meeting, they talked regarding the Mitten Apartments, regarding the wall. Has a decision been made, or did I miss something, or is it still in the making?
They're still working on all the revisions.
They have not come back.
Okay.
Have they talked to you?
No. Well, no. They haven't talked to Doris or...
We have your number.
Yeah, okay. They said that they would get in touch with us. And then they said last week they were going to have a meeting with everybody. And they canceled that, yeah. So that's not maybe you guys decided last week.
No.
Okay, so then we'll just keep our eyes open. That's all.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else like to make comment? Yes.
Okay. I'm Dan DeGaulle, 211 Thousand Oaks Drive. I came along here to hear about the introduction on 9A, conditional rezoning. Seems like this is from the public comment in the next meeting. Because I had some comments to make on that one, too, because... To me, what would the idea is to keep the quadplexes, but take out the apartment building, because I think it will look a lot better, personally. Because that was my job, drafting designs, civil and architectural. And that's what I was looking at from a consumer point of view, as well as from a visual side. You know, I'll put the apartments down on the northeast corner of Town Light and Hammond Road, because that would be a perfect fit for apartment buildings. And reading the article this morning, the last all week, I wish the apartment, when they build apartments, that they make it affordable for the people that's coming up to about $800 range a little bit. And I hear $1,000, not too many people can afford $1,000 an apartment. But if you knock about $200, $250, $750 to $800, that's more affordable. That's all I wanted to say, really.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think that...
I said through about $3.
Yeah.
I know.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah, thank you. I think, to me, the one thing is it's the law of supply and demand, and the more supply of apartments there are, then the price comes down.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. There's limited housing in this community, and... Yeah.
Yeah, the
well, I came from a small town up in Munising, and they're having the same issue with the short-term rental and everything else, but they're having problems too with keeping the young people as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's all over the UP right
now. It's all over.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to make comment? Okay, hearing none then. Our next regular meeting will be September 3rd at 6:30, and hope to see you then, and we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we have a problem with the...